the you gotta put it in perspective.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B-I-G!
Make me 8 waffles, cottage cheese and cream cheese, bacon, chocolate milk, syrup, maybe some donuts, a cookie, a chocolate bar. Yeah, that should be good.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
Fire beer mug, fire beer mug, fire him, fire him. Fire him. That's how you get it done. Learn, beer mug.
And now...
I want to banter with you guys in the morning. I just, like, panicked and I made a Hitler joke. I'm sorry.
Our feature presentation.
Beer mug.
He's just something.
He's so sad today. I even feel bad. He's so sad.
He's the gift that keeps giving, isn't he?
What
happened, son?
I got pulled over on the way to work this morning.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, I was I made an unsafe lane change with nobody on the freeway, and I was speeding. He said I was going around 78, but he was generous and he knocked it down to 70.
That's weak.
Yeah.
So what's the speed limit where you were?
65.
So you think 13 over, you shouldn't get a ticket for it?
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but the guy was just a dick.
Technically, he should, but as a matter of, practice, usually you don't, especially if there's no one on the road.
I thought anything over 10 miles, I mean, look, here's the way I look at it. It's a cat and mouse game. Everybody speeds, almost everybody speeds, and almost everybody gets away with it. But you accept that if you're going over 10 miles over the limit, that you're in their crosshairs. You are asking them to pull you over at that point, right?
What was the unsafe lane change? You started with that. What was that?
Unsafe lane change is when you advance more than one lane before waiting about 2 or 3 seconds.
Oh, so you just spun across.
So you went across two lanes or whatever? You just made a right turn on the freeway?
Technically.
90-degree angle?
Besides the fact that the guy wasn't your favorite guy in the world because he's going to cost you money, what do you mean he was a dick?
Well, it's funny when you tell them that, I got to be somewhere kind of right now.
Yeah, because they care about that.
They take their sweet-ass time writing the ticket just to piss you off.
You really think so? You really think they go intentionally slower if they think you're busy?
Absolutely. I said, sir, I'm sorry, I was unsafe or whatever, but I kind of got to get to work, so can you kind of... He's like, well, you should have thought of that before you made the unsafe lane change.
Well, you should have thought about that, the cop comes back with. Love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine... I believe that some are in bad moods and act like it, but I would imagine most aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes a few minutes to write up a ticket.
I think this was Mug's fault completely.
Oh. It does suck to get a ticket if you feel like you're going the speed that everybody goes.
Right.
But again, going back to my cat and mouse analogy, the other half of that, Beer Mug, is if you're the only guy out there, you've got no cover. You've got no traffic to blend in with. You're not just keeping up with the rest of the drivers.
Right, but he didn't get pulled over for his speed. First, he got pulled over for going over two lanes. That's,
right, I understand.
That was what got their attention.
It didn't make it any better for him, though,
no,
did
no,
it?
No. You know? It didn't help.
And who knows, maybe at 70 instead of, 78, and I know who goes 70, right? Maybe that lane change doesn't catch somebody's eye and looks so impulsive if you're not going quite as fast. Maybe it's a combination of the two, I don't know. It's hard to guess.
He made the double lane change, though, in a half a second, and that was a little too quick.
So we're
good.
Where are you on the Kevin scale of the worst drivers in California? Is this putting you anywhere in dangerous territory in terms of points or anything, Mugs?
I'm not quite there yet, but I mean, if this happens again, I could be playing ball here.
You can do it, man. You can do it. Come on, step up your game.
So you're at the point now where, okay, now I can't get another ticket. I gotta be serious.
Exactly.
I gotta be good.
I gotta get this off my record and I'll be okay.
You're gonna be like me and you're gonna actually be going 70.
Yeah.
Because you can't possibly get another ticket.
Now, what were you saying, Lisa?
Well, every time I have gone, not every time, but when I have gone 80,
right.
I those are the times when the CHP has on the 101 pulled up next to me and put on their loudspeaker and said, lady, slow down.
I like it. I like it.
So 70 is safe. 72 is safe.
I always heard over 7 miles. 7 miles per
That's
hour.
That's what I heard, too.
That's what I always heard. But then even over that, it's still a call. It's still a judgment call.
It is. But I just worry at
but
that
then you
speed.
Look at Muggs, and he's in the car, you know, and he yells out, I like beats. I'm like, I'm going to pull him over.
Yeah, totally.
Now, the king chimes in, by the way, that he thinks the cop's version of this story is that Beer Mug is a dick and that he was in the wrong. The cop pulled him over just doing his job, and Beer Mug's the guy who gets mouthy and says, I got somewhere to be.
Oh, I believe that too.
So I don't. Maybe there's two sides to this story.
In all honesty, though, I was very polite. I said I wasn't going to try to argue my way out of the ticket. I said, "I understand." I said, "Sorry, officer. I made an unsafe lane change, but I just got to, you know, could you kind of write the ticket quick? Because I could tell he was going to give me the ticket right away.
Speed it up, ass."
Yeah, that's more likely what he said. Yeah. Did you try cleavage at all, Muggs?
No.
Flash a little skin?
You've got a lot more.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, yeah, more than Lisa does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not attached to Lisa's body, though, is the difference.
Right, that's the problem there. Oh, if we could do some sort of a boob transplant, that'd be the best. Lisa would be perfect.
Nice.
Well, good times, Muggs. The day can only improve from here. That's the way you look at it. Oh, although the program director needs to see you immediately after the show on Friday. Sorry.
All right, let's talk about the... Do you want to do a story here, Bean, or do we not have time?
No, that is. I had a great story, but it'll save till tomorrow.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate it.
Jenny Slate will be on the program talking about the YouTube Comedy Week. When is that? Is that next week?
Yes.
Starts Sunday, runs next week. Yeah.
All right. We also have Jill Wagner in the studio.
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Talking about Wipeout. She's the best. That show kills me. I love it.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Why can't we get Muggs on that show, by the way? That's what we all want to see.
Yeah, it's true. You take a lot of abuse. Really get beat around. That's what he needs. You had sex dreams about a coworker. We're going to talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour. It seems to happen a lot.
I think it does.
Makes it super awkward. And do you tell the person? Do you just keep it to yourself? You know, what's your policy?
Yeah.
Or is it a sign to go for it?
Is
that what you think?
That's what I would say, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense you would have sex dreams about coworkers because you tend to dream, at least a lot of people do, tend to dream about whatever the things that they have rattled around in their brain.
But,
and
you know,
people that work are people you spend a lot of time with, and they're going to come to your mind from time to time.
You know what's funny about this particular topic is a lot of people have sex dreams about people at work that they would never have sex with.
That's what happens to me.
That's weird.
Please. I said that would never have sex with them, Lisa. For God's sakes, pay attention. Jimmy Pardo will be in the studio today.
He's never not funny.
He's funny, right? Yes. And he's got a great podcast. We're going to talk to him today. And the star of Arrows, Stephen Amell, will be on the program today as well. And we've got your pit tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013, which is in a couple of days.
Oh, my God.
This Saturday. So we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm important. I got a job. I don't know what you're doing. I'm busy.
I have to be somewhere. So do your little cop job so I can get on my important job.
Can you speed it up
eating
a little?
And pushing buttons.
I've got an intern I want to send out for food now.
I like beets.
Who says to a cop, I got to go?
Yeah, that's not very smart.
Even to imply, hey, hurry up, is just stupid.
He was a dick.
Yeah. It's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at your life. Look at your life and how much you blame on other people, and then look at your life and say, oh, maybe the new approach is warranted.
Let's take a vote. I'm coming down on the side of the police officer.
Absolutely.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yeah,
Bean?
I
believe so, yes.
Okay. All right.
This time. But we weren't there. We don't know, man.
But Beer Mug was.
If he admits, he said, I got to go to work. Can we move this along? Then you know it was worse in real life.
Sure.
And the mild version is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
All right. It's 5:52 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. Then we're going to catch up with our little friend O.J. Simpson, by the way. Find out why he thinks he should be let out of prison. That's coming up right after the top of the hour.
When did he become our little friend?
Oh,
well, we've had a
friend.
Good relationship with him over the years. We talk to him often. I consider him a member of the Kevin and Bean family. And the way extended Kevin and Bean family, the part of the family that kills.
I'll take him. He may not be your little friend, but I'm not breaking up with him, so he's my friend. You know what happens when you break up with him.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Kevin. See ya.
Don't look for your keys on the front porch. Congratulations to Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong fame, who's claims he's back to his usual healthy self. 11 months after being diagnosed with stage 1 prostate cancer.
That's great news.
It is great news. However, how he achieved that health, I have some questions about. He says on a website that he fought the disease by, one, changing his diet, two, downing vitamin supplements, three, large amounts of hemp oil, and attending a session with a guy named Adam McLeod, known as the Dream Healer.
Yes.
This all sounds effing shaky to me.
The Dream Healer.
Listen, I believe that that lifestyle can absolutely prevent cancer, but once you have it, I'm always dubious about these people who say just vitamins and changing your diet and meeting a dream healer can clear that all up for you.
Seems like maybe chemo is a better option.
Well, look, there's...
you could do both.
There's some very minorly invasive techniques to especially take care of prostate cancer now. You don't even need chemo. They can do target radiation, or they can do these radiation seeds, or there's drugs now and everything that are very effective. I just always have... People claim to be cured by vitamins and diet and stuff, especially with a disease like cancer. I'm just always dubious. I hope that is possible.
Yeah.
But I'm always dubious, especially since he gave the interview to a website called celebstoner.com.
All right.
So.
Man, I'm so high. Maybe it was weed. Wouldn't it be awesome if that's what was right in front of us all along? That's the cure
weed
to cancer.
Weed cures everything.
Oh.
I've heard that there's some situations where hemp and marijuana are actually very beneficial. And
certainly help with the pain for
a lot of
people.
Yeah, but beyond that, actually, pain, for your immune system and
really?
Things like that. Yeah.
Sweet.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West may be in trouble. Their relationship may not be working out.
Uh-oh.
Could never see that coming. Apparently, some friends and family close to Kim are saying she is upset because she's always requested by Kanye West to get on a plane, even pregnant, and go visit her in places like Paris and other places when he's on tour.
Right.
But he will never come to the U.S. to visit her to make sure she's okay.
It's because of Kris Jenner. That's why that...
However, he would hop on a plane to go to the Met Ball and hang out with the editors of Vogue.
Yeah.
And so Kim's like, oh, you'll come back for big fashion events and everything, but you won't come back just to check on me while I'm pregnant and uncomfortable and things you never stop by.
Is that a surprise to anyone?
Not even a little bit. That he has a super ego and he's in control of the relationship?
Yep.
Speaking of that Met Ball, you know, finally, Anna Wintour, who is the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine, she's the one who throws it every year. Mm-hmm. She had a ban on Kim Kardashian last year, wouldn't let her come.
Love it.
This year she let her come, but she insisted that she dress like a giant ottoman.
Yes.
Apparently that was the rules. But the good news is that she did ban Kris Jenner from attending.
All right.
Kris Jenner was desperate to go and had Kanye intervene on her behalf, apparently, and she said, no way, one Kardashian is enough, according to insiders, and refused to let Kris Jenner attend, and Kris was very upset. Anything makes Kris upset makes me happy.
We're down
with
it.
I'm glad to hear that. Meanwhile, Gwyneth Paltrow got drunk and did an interview about the Met Ball, saying it sucked.
Really?
Yeah. She did an interview with two Australian radio show hosts, and New York Magazine says the actress was somewhat drunk. How do they know? Well, she started the interview by saying, I am already drunk.
Just proclaim it. Put it out there.
Here's what she said about the Met Ball. It sucked. It seems like the best thing in the world. You think, oh, my God, it's going to be glamorous and amazing. You're going to see all these famous people. Then you get there, and it's so hot, and it's so crowded, and everyone's pushing you. This year was really intense. It wasn't fun. Kanye West was playing, but he was furious, and he threw his microphone down. It was all drama. I don't know why he was furious. See his date?
He's dating a couch.
And the Cannes Film Festival begins today in the south of France, of course. Perhaps the most famous film festival in the world. And Sundance is probably up there, too. But the French favorite, Jerry Lewis, will be there. He's got a new movie.
He does?
Yeah, it's opening in at Cannes.
What's his new movie, Ralph?
It's called Max Rose, the story of a widowed jazz pianist who discovers that his marriage has been a sham and embarks on an exploration of his own past and life.
Hmm.
Sounds like a touching and funny film. Also stars Kevin Pollak.
Wow. I like him.
Yeah. So.
Everything Jerry Lewis does is perfect.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to take another tack, and then I realized, no, everything he does is great.
That's what we've been told.
And Justin Bieber was robbed. Hollywood Reporter has a story saying that while he was on stage Sunday in Johannesburg, South Africa, some very sophisticated thieves were able to hammer and chisel their way into a room under FNB Stadium where Bieber was performing, and then they got all the money from the concert. It was kept in a safe there in the room.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sounds like Ocean's 11 or one of those deals.
But I was thinking, what perfect noise to drown out hammering and chiseling in Justin Bieber's music? It'd be perfect. No one would ever hear that. Because that caterwauling going on stage would just cover everything up.
What's he making tonight, Ralph?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Apparently, they only got the money that was in the room. I guess these were cash receipts of people who bought tickets on the day, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Because they said they got away with more than $330,000.
Wow.
So I'm assuming that doesn't include internet purchases and things like that.
Which would be most of it.
Which would be most of it, you would think.
Yeah. Imagine having the kind of job that generates that much money in a day, though.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, now you got a lot of people to pay. Obviously, it's not all profit. But still, man, that being a pop singer is the way to go, right?
Yeah. That seemed low to me, though, $330,000.
Well, right. I mean, I'm basing it on what you said, which is that's probably not all of it. That doesn't include the people who bought their tickets online beforehand and stuff.
Yeah, I'm assuming that was probably the majority of it. But still, not a bad take.
No.
For a little hammering and chiseling.
Congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, I would do it. Today's celebrity birthdays are not here in front of me. So, look it up, people.
Or come back in an hour.
Grab a USA Today. Look online. You know, there's schools y'all can go to.
Just hit a bell when needed.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey! This is the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:21, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
What a show we have for you today. Jimmy Pardo on the program, also Jill Wagner from TV's Wipeout, comedian, actress Jenny Slate on the show today, and Stephen Amell from Arrow. He is the Green Arrow himself. He'll be joining us just after 7 o'clock this morning. We got on the topic the other day of sex dreams about coworkers. I had a work dream, you guys remember, and you were all very disappointed that there was no sexy time involved in it at all.
Well, it's barely a work dream.
I think, for everybody else, that usually is how you dream about work.
Yeah.
My work dream was just a party machine, which is it was no fun compared to the kind of dreams that Lisa has, where apparently she wants to bone every one of us.
I've had a lot of sex dreams with people I work
God
with.
God bless you. Right.
Ralph, for one, several years ago. And I don't remember the details because it was just good.
All right. So there was what was that like the next day? Was it awkward? Because we're going to be taking calls here from Kevin B. listeners who have had sex dreams about coworkers to find out how it played out, if at all. Was it awkward for you the next day, Lisa, when you woke up and you came in and you were about to see Ralph? And on his end, nothing had changed. You guys were just coworkers like you were the day before. But for you, you had had this experience. Did you feel kind of weird when you first saw him the next day?
It was a little weird. And then I think I told one of you, and of course you immediately told him.
Of
so
course.
That made it way weirder.
That's bad on you if you haven't learned that by now. Come on.
But the one I really, really remember is when I worked at Metro, these two guys, one of whom is a very big man, not at all attractive, came in shorts and just bleh. And I had this dream of a threesome with them.
Yeah, and Wobbly H. Shout out to Wobbly H.
Like,
woo!
What the F? Like, never in a million years would I think of that guy in any sexual way at all. And the other one was okay.
And then you had that dream, which is weird that your mind would go there.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening to me?
What do you guys think that's about if you have a sex dream about somebody that you're not at all attracted to? I mean, I'm sure psychologists would have some theory. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I really don't know. Lisa acts like she would never. Please.
Acts like.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to show you a picture and you will know I am telling the truth.
You know, my first response to that would be there's your subconscious has got other things going on. But if it's somebody that in a million years you'd never even consider, that's
right.
That's
but we've heard so often that when you like, you know, everything is not literal in a dream.
Right.
I mean, if you're drowning in your dream, they say you're overwhelmed by work. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're really drowning, you know?
Right.
So the sex dream, I mean, maybe it just means unrest in the workplace or a desire to work your way to the top, maybe, and do whatever you have to do. No, I mean, you know, in the work. But I don't know.
I'm just not getting enough sex.
Or maybe that's it too.
Maybe you're just extra horny.
Maybe that's it. So Lisa tells us about that, and then the King comes in the other day. Dave, the King of Mexico, who has a longtime girlfriend who works on the Loveline show.
Yeah,
and you weren't happy about what had transpired, were you, Dave?
Well, I heard about a dream that Mike Catherwood had about my girlfriend.
Well, here's the thing about that. Your girlfriend is way too hot for you. So
that is always the case with Dave.
By the way, find someone who hasn't had a sex dream about your girlfriend.
If you're in a relationship with somebody who's way too hot for you, there must be that fear in the back of your mind that she's going to at some point wake up and realize you're you.
Yeah.
And there are other people.
Yeah.
So this doesn't help, but Psycho Mike had a dream, and yeah, you asked him to call the Afro line with,
I
with
did.
The details. All right, here's Psycho Mike describing his dream about Dave the King of Mexico's girlfriend.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Mike Catherwood here, Psycho Mike, and I know you guys are talking about sex dreams, so I thought I'd call in and let you know that I had a sex dream, a really detailed, like really, really kind of vivid sex dream about my coworker, Krista, who answers the phone for Loveline. She's also Dave the King of Mexico's girlfriend. I totally wrecked her in the dream, like broke her off real proper, and she was really passionate, and she was telling me how she doesn't normally get, you know, such passionate lovemaking in a relationship, and I felt really bad because, you know, I totally licked her and in the
what?
And I on her and she loved it. She was like up like Scooby-Doo and
what?
And made a Jackson Pollock with on her. Pretty awesome. So I just want to tell you guys that, and it made me feel bad. Like you could tell in my voice how guilty I feel for Dave's girlfriend in the in a dream. But, you know, it happened to me in my mind. You know? All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I heard the unbeeped version of
that. Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
oh.
He told it to me. And
a lot of pressure now on you next time, Dave.
No, and the funny thing was, he had no problem with seeing her the next day. Like he told her about it and was all happy and giddy about it.
Right.
When he told me, he felt bad. He's all like, oh, I felt bad that that's your girlfriend. And I did that to her. And I was like, it was a dream. What do I care?
What was it like?
You know, first of all. What was it like for Krista, though? Now she's working side by side with the man who has described in great detail what he did to her the night before in his mind.
We have all worked with Psycho Mike.
Yes.
So
he described in great detail what he would do.
She said, oh, well, whatever.
All the time.
Yeah. She didn't care.
All right, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you have had this phenomena in your life, you've been working, and somebody ended up in a sex dream from your work, and how'd you deal with it? Did you tell them? Do you avoid them? Do you just go ahead and do it?
Do you quit?
Yeah, do you act on it? That's my question. Is it a sign from the heavens? I guess I'm supposed to have sex with that person. You just go for it.
Let's take one call right now. We have Raul on the line. Hi.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hello.
Sex dreams about coworkers.
So, funny thing, I hear the topic this morning and I start laughing because 2 weeks ago I had a sex dream about my best friend at work. Now,
what's his name?
Her name is Arby, and she I'm not attracted to her at all. You know, people say, oh, she's pretty enough. I'm not attracted to her, however. I think the only thing she's got for her going is her big rack.
Okay.
So, well, she's really going to be happy to hear this on the radio.
Yeah. She's a real dog, but what boobs?
Last week, we go to happy hour. I get drunk, and I'm like, hey, I got a confession to make to you. And she's like, oh, you can trust me. You know, you can tell me anything. We're friends. And I'm like, I had this dream where I totally wrecked you, but I'm not attracted to you at all.
All right. You got to make sure you got to mention that to her face. That's nice.
So I guess she thought it was hilarious and ended up telling everybody at work. So,
all right.
I'm walking around with a red face. probably shouldn't have said anything.
So let me ask you this for reals, Raul, and that is, I know you're not attracted to her, but if you had a couple more drinks, would you have considered hitting that?
I don't know. I got a girlfriend, and I'm kind of faithful
not
to
for
her,
long.
So.
That's a yes, by the way. That's a yes. Means yes.
Yeah. All right, Raul. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. You had a sex dream about a coworker, or someone had a sex dream at work about you. What happened next? We want to take your calls next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, this is fun. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about coworker sex dreams and what happens next. We got some great ones on the line here. Why don't we start with, Laura. Laura is on line 3 and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Laura. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I work in a medical setting, and I had a dream about my coworker / neighbor and on my floor.
Okay.
And
the sex was on your floor?
We were on a bed.
Ah, okay.
The dream had to do with a bed and breakfast, and her and her husband were there, me and my husband were there, and all of
wait, hold on a sec. The sex dream was about a female coworker.
Yes.
Oh, you hadn't mentioned that. Okay, now you got my interest. All right. And yes, you are straight. You got a So you have a husband, so you are straight, so this is unusual then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So, I'm in my room playing on my iPad.
Yeah.
Euphemism.
And she walks in and begins to, let's say, pleasure herself.
Right.
Okay,
let's say that.
And you say that. Do you need some help with that?
No, she said, this is how you're supposed to do it.
I'll show you cleaning an iPad.
Yeah. She's like, this is better than the iPad. And so she does that, and it's awkward, and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then in the dream, her husband walks in, and he's like, not again. Why do you keep doing this with all of our friends?
So did you ever, did you tell her, your pillow was gone, did you tell her about it?
I sure did the next day. I said, oh, my God, I had the weirdest dream about you last night.
And what was her reaction?
She giggled and laughed. And so I was telling your phone screener that now every couple of days she's like, so what did we do last night?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Right. Well, you need to make that happen, clearly. That's the heavens pointing you in the right direction. All right. Thank you, Laura. We appreciate the call.
Thank
you. You too. Let's talk to Michelle. I think her sex dream turned into real life, you guys, which is, right? I wondered if we'd hear a story like that. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, guys. So my dream was that I hooked up with one of my really hot coworkers in a hotel.
Okay.
And it was really, really hot. And then I woke up the next day and I saw him and I started blushing. And then I just straight out told him what had happened because I felt really awkward around him. Mm-hmm. And then he tells me that he had a sex dream about me the night before.
What?
Nice.
He lied.
Yeah.
He might have lied.
I did too.
Oh, I feel that way too. Yeah, whatever you were going to say. So what did you do? Did you decide, hey, it's a sign?
So it started with flirting, and then a couple of days later, after work, we ended up hooking up in a spot.
There you go. That's fantastic.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, now, was it as good as the dream?
I think the dream was a little better.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, dreams dreams are pretty great.
Only once, or is it an ongoing thing?
It's still going.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nothing wrong with
good
that.
Enough.
All right. Fantastic. See, the dream worked out for you. Thank you very much.
Follow your dreams, people.
All right. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more. Maybe we got Melissa here. Melissa's on line 5, and she's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Melissa. Talking sex dreams with coworkers. This happened to you?
I didn't have the sex dream, but one of my coworkers did.
About you?
About you?
Yes, I was sitting at my desk, and I heard her at the coffee machine, and another coworker came up, and she started talking about it. I don't think she knew I was there.
And so, how did it make you feel to find out that somebody had been thinking about you like that?
Well, I had only been there 3 weeks, so it was a little awkward.
Right.
And started going into graphic detail.
Right.
And so I'm sitting there going, okay, do I tell her that I'm literally like 2 feet away? So I kind of skipped my head out the door, and I said, hey, just so you know, guys, I am in the office.
What's wrong with you? At least hear the story.
I heard quite a bit.
Yeah.
You heard enough, right.
Yeah, I mean, it was making me blush. And so for the next 3 months, we had issues looking each other in the eyes.
Oh, that's funny.
Did you finally give in to it?
Well, I think her husband and her kids would probably be a little bothered.
They don't have to know, Melissa. For God's sake.
That's how Kevin stayed married for so long.
How dare you.
All right, Melissa, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, I guess that would be a little awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a bit.
I would think. All right, let's do one more.
But here's the thing. You, as the person who's being told about the dream, you have the responsibility to make it as awkward as possible.
Absolutely.
The other story where it was like, what did we do last night? That's what you should do.
Right.
Sure.
Really live it up.
Let's do one more. Let's do Steven. He's on line 6. Hi, Steven. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to have the final word on sex dreams with coworkers. You had one?
Yeah. So I had a sex dream. I was working at a restaurant in college and told the girl I had the sex dream, and you know where I work, she wants to know all the details. I'm like, you know, this is something we should talk about, like, not at work.
Nice. So you used it as an opening to ask her out on a date?
Well, no, it wasn't a date. We just hung out afterwards, and she and I were like good friends, and I was attracted to her. And it turned into a great way to kind of make her see me in a sexual light, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm all telling the story, and then I'm like talking about what I would have preferred to happen instead of in the dream. And she's like, well, you know, then one thing led to another, and there it went.
There it went.
So you ended up hooking up with her.
Yeah, so telling her the dream, and then it turned into us hooking up.
Was she disappointed?
Not that I know of. I mean, she might call in and say otherwise, but
we got her on the other line. Let's go to her now.
I didn't tell you her name on purpose.
I wonder if it's funny because I wonder if that works, if that would work as an opening line just to kind of change the conversation from friends to at least it kind of forces the other person to think of you in a sexual way.
Well, that's sort of what ended up happening. I was like, you know, that worked really well. So then if there was a girl I was just friends with that I wanted her to see me in a sexual light, I was like, so I had this dream the other night.
You started lying about the dreams.
Smart.
Yeah. Genius.
Yeah.
And because you're just telling a story, because you're just telling a dream, you can make yourself as fantastic as you want, too, right?
Exactly.
Nice. All right, I like it.
Thank you for evil.
Thank you for calling. So follow your dreams, A, and B, lie about your dreams.
Yep.
As well.
The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 is happening Saturday, so today's Wednesday, right? So you can win your tickets today, and then tomorrow.
Right.
And then maybe Friday morning.
Right.
But we're running out of time. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater this Saturday. Great lineup. You can win your tickets every hour from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. today. Details at KROQ.com. By the way, these tickets are in the pit and include backstage passes, if that sounds good
to you. Oh!
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and then we'll talk Arrow with actor Stephen Amell coming up right after the top of the hour.
I can shoot a bow and arrow like that.
Oh, please. I can do those jumping pull-ups like he does.
Sure.
Heartbeat. I'll give him some fitness tips. Love Arrow, but you know what? We know he can do that.
They have showed that a lot.
That has been covered, asked and answered, Your Honor. Moving on.
Well, if you have an awesome party trick, you do it at every party because you know you've got that wins.
But then people have been to the party before say, oh, Jesus, is he doing that trick again? Oh, I'm going to go get some punch. Great news. Someone was after Taylor Swift and almost got to her. Oh, so close. An obsessed Taylor Swift fan was arrested, according to TMZ. Rhode Island. I know it's not you. Because the guy had to swim 2 miles to get to her.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Definitely not me.
He swam up to her pad there in Rhode Island, her beach house. He was arrested, taken into custody for trespassing after he admitted to swimming 2 miles up to the beach in front of Taylor Swift's home around 2 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is her her new place in Rhode Island that she bought for $17.5 million cash.
Yes.
That's this place.
All quarters.
Weird.
Oddly enough. 22-year-old male was from Chicago. He was swimming towards her beachfront property when her security team met him there on the shore.
What a bummer after swimming 2 miles.
Wait, that's when he decided to get the hell out of there and swim back where he came from.
What? That's crazy.
Police were waiting for him when he showed up on shore there.
What a double bummer.
Did he turn around and go back?
And then he drowned. The end. I was booked for trespassing. He's still in custody. I had this visual image. I just pray and hope he had like a knife in his teeth while he was swimming and like a bandana around his head, like Rambo style, like Rambo coming up out of the water. He had a bandolero of shells and some gun in his keister or something. Like he was just loaded for bear. He was going to do some damage, but no.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Got any guns? Ralph, did you see T-Swizzle last night on New Girl?
No one calls her T-Swizzle.
You guys are all New Girl fans, though, right?
Yes.
The only episode I've ever deleted from my DVR. No, I did not see it because I was watching Star Trek Into Darkness last night.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
At the Dolby Theater.
Dublin.
It should be in Dublin.
Dublin.
The Dolby Theater, not a movie theater.
It isn't.
No, they transformed it into one just for the premiere last night.
No kidding.
So they could have 18,000 people watch the movie at one time.
Seems a little much.
Yeah, I don't know how many holds, but it's a big, big joint. But it was really impressive how they transformed it into from a live theater into a movie theater. That being said, if it ever becomes a movie theater again, do not sit in the back row because the overhang of the balcony above you will provide you an excellent view of about three quarters of a movie screen.
Oh, no.
So
you don't know what the
night.
Top...
I have no idea what the top of Spock's head was doing in any scene. I'll tell you that much. But all in all, a good film. Not a great film. And I'll explain to you why it's not a great film. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. No, I'll do it Thursday when it comes out. Let's say Thursday.
Okay,
I'll
Thursday.
Give you a little preemptive
Thursday
review.
Is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thursday is tomorrow.
Yes.
Then tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Both that. Thursday and tomorrow. I'll do it twice.
All right. Can your comments come after we get some of the guests we're trying to get in to talk about the Star Trek movie?
Look, it's
Can
a good movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Okay.
I'm just saying there are some well-intentioned, good-hearted mistakes the filmmakers make that I think keep it from being great.
Right. But Star Trek fans will definitely want to see it, it sounds
absolutely.
Like.
It's, yeah. It's not missed, and I saw it in 3D. Very impressive 3D.
Sweet.
And it's a gorgeous film, just beautiful effects and action. And it's got a lot going for it, but it's just a few things that missteps it makes, I think, keeps it from being a great film. But it's a good film, and that's good, right? Good
is
good.
Will non-Star Trek fans like it better because they won't notice those problems?
I don't know if anyone who would go to see a Star Trek movie, even a person who's not a big fan, will not recognize some of the...
I see.
The reworking and rehashing of some previous Star Trek moments and plot lines that sort of keep this feeling derivative and sort of unoriginal, and I think that's its biggest drawback, is it's almost too fanboy. It's almost too flattering and too reverent and too much homage to the original actors, to the original plots, to some of the earlier films. That I think everyone will notice it. It might bother some more than others.
Right? I'm excited to see Tribbles again. It's been a long time.
There is a Tribble. You do see a Tribble.
Oh.
That's for sure.
Mr. Sulu will be joining us in studio tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour, I'm told. John Cho.
He's great in it. Cho is great in it. The cast, really, to a man, is really strong. Again, we'll talk more about my quibbles with it. My quibbles with Tribbles. tomorrow. And not everyone has a successful Kickstarter story. We've been focusing so much on the Veronica Mars success and Zach Braff success that here's the problem. If you're a celebrity and you say, oh, well, I'll just do that because everyone's doing it and everybody's getting their projects funded. I'll go do that. Because when you do that, I think you run the risk of falling on your face in a very public way.
Sure.
As did Melissa Joan Hart, your teenage witch.
Right.
What was she trying to make, a movie?
Teen sitcom star Melissa Joan Hart was trying to make a movie called Darcy's Walk of Shame. She had a month to raise $2 million to budget her small-budget romantic comedy. And she was looking forward to it until she raised just $50,000.
It's not going to be a very good movie.
From a measly 315 supporters. $50,000 and $51,605 is a little bit less than the $2 million she was trying to raise.
Can't she wiggle her nose and get some out of that magic cat or something? I mean, how does that, I don't know how that works, but
like that, it works like that. Her personal message on the list on the page said, "She wants the donors to do what Hollywood won't: take a chance on me as a lead of a romantic comedy film." Well, turns out we don't want to see that either, Melissa Joan Hart. So, sorry.
So she is really more over here with Danny Blaze rather than over
yes.
here with Zach Braff,
with Zach and Rob Thomas. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Chaz Palminteri celebrates his 67th birthday today. ESPN's Dan Patrick celebrates 57. Ray Lewis, former Raven linebacker Ray Lewis, icon of the NFL, held up very often as sort of the example of what a true NFL player should be. So for those of you kids who want to grow up and play in the NFL, find somebody to kill. 38 years old today. Actor David Krumholtz celebrates his 35th birthday, and actress Jamie Lynn Sigler. You remember her from Sopranos, our Little Meadow.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo from NeverNotFunny.com joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jill Wagner from Wipeout next hour. Kevin, are you very excited about the CW tonight?
I am.
Season finale of Arrow.
Bean, you remember at Comic-Con last year when we talked to Stephen Amell and Katie Cassidy, and we really only did it to talk to Katie Cassidy?
Yes.
I do. I remember stupid Stephen Amell was hanging out and getting in our way. I do remember that. He was C-blocking us, if that's what you're asking me. Well, we were wrong because he turns out to be an awesome Arrow, and as I mentioned, the season finale is tonight on the CW, and he joins us back on the show here on the Kevin and Bean program on the phone. Hi, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. How you doing?
Very good. A lot has changed.
I didn't get any love from you last time we got interviews. This is nice.
Yeah, well, only because Katie's not here now. Right, exactly. A lot has changed for you, sir, since the last time we saw you last summer in San Diego, because, of course, at that time, you know, we'd only heard about it or we hadn't seen it. But, wow, what a difference a year makes. What's it been like for you over the last few months to have this thing unfold on TV and have your life change?
Well, I've been in Vancouver with my head down shooting 23 episodes of television, so I haven't, I haven't seen much of what's happened other than, you know, reacting to my Twitter timeline and Facebook page, but the fan reaction has been phenomenal, and now that we're done shooting and I'm actually getting a little bit of downtime, I'm starting to appreciate it more and more. It's been an amazing year.
Do you get some response from the nerd world about what you're doing with the character, like it's your fault, or, you know, some of the things that he does, some of the background, any of the details?
But no, everyone would still like me to maybe have a goatee, and uh-huh. They would like me to maybe have a mask. But if that, the comic book fans, once they let you in, you're in.
You're in.
Oh, nice.
I feel like I'm in.
So, in other words, and you're right, the comic book people are very loyal. So, if this show goes away today, and I don't think it's going to, you'll be able to sign autographs at Comic-Con when you're 80 because you played the Arrow. I mean, you'll always have that in your back pocket as you can sign your name for $4.
It's nice to have a backup plan, I guess.
You're hoping not to use it quite yet?
I'm not looking to cash it in just yet, but we'll think of it like a long-term investment.
Now, on the
show, they do show you working out quite a bit, and they keep showing that thing where you do the pull-up bar, and it's separate from the, and then you have to take it out and put it up a notch. And
the ladder, right.
You shot that one time, right, and they just keep reusing it? Or do they keep making you redo that?
No, I can do that. I can do that now, but it's just that there's that one sort of, just that one sequence from the pilot when, you know, it was so beautifully and made it look much more difficult than it is. And they just keep showing that. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use the old one. I did that already. I don't need, and speaking of things you can do, tell me about the bow and arrow. Now, clearly no human being can shoot, I don't know, a bullet out of the sky or a gun out of somebody's hand. But how good have you gotten with that?
I'm really good. To do all the time, so my form has gotten really good, and form is 98.
Oh, your phone's cut.
Oh, we're losing you. We're losing you on your phone.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it's form is really important with archery. So, I do it all the time, and that has made me good.
Are we going to see you in the Olympics as in the bow and arrow archery category?
Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be the best promotion ever for a TV show if you went out and won a gold medal in archery?
I mean, if Comic-Con is the backup plan and signing autographs, that would be the backup.
Yeah, I don't think we need to get to that yet. All right, so when you get down to a season finale, and as you mentioned, you got a lot of episodes behind you. There's been, I mean, look, there's no show on TV that has more happening in 60 minutes than Arrow. It's crazy how many plot lines you guys have churned through in the course of a season. What, without giving, obviously, spoilers away, where are we tonight in terms of what you can tell us to look forward to? Some resolutions of some storylines, maybe?
We're going to have big-time resolutions. We're going to have definitive endings and things that crack open new possibilities. And we have been as much as been happening, we have been winding the big things up for what feels like the entire season. Mm-hmm. And we just let everything loose tonight. Tonight's episode is just it's like a freight train. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and does not stop the entire time until it's over.
Okay, awesome. I don't want you to spoil anything, but do you kill the character that is your mom?
Do I hope Moira survives.
Why do you say that, Kevin?
Because his mom is evil, that's why. And he's...
We, you know what? I will spoil one thing. We have a... I have a really fun scene tonight with Susanna Thompson, who plays my mom, and there are no punches pulled, and there are no secrets in the scene.
It's nice.
It's
it's me as Oliver in a very honest way, and it's her as Moira in a very honest
way. She's sort of behind, well, it seems like everything bad.
Yeah. I think she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it snowballed for 5.5 years.
Hey, don't make excuses, pal.
Well, she's my mom. Come on.
That's right. She's your mom. You got to stick up for family. All right. We're almost out of time. Stephen and Mel on the phone again. We're talking about Arrow season finale tonight on the CW at 8. So what are you going to do now that you're not working at a little bit of downtime, as you said? How are you going to spend it?
I've been relaxing. I went away on vacation for a little bit, and but now I'm back in New York promoting the show, promoting season 2, and the show has the show's done really, really well internationally. So I'm going to take this opportunity because it wasn't really the right job for me outside of Arrow, this hiatus, because my schedule is so specific and we're back shooting so quickly. But I'm going to take the opportunity this time to go overseas and promote the show a little bit because the response has been so fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Hey, if you can get the company to pay for it, you might as well go, right?
Boom, there it is. Free vacation.
Absolutely. It was nice to be a working actor on a TV show that didn't have to sweat whether you were going to be picked up and come back for next season. I mean, you knew that was a certainty, so that had to feel pretty good too.
Everything with the show, I mean, when we shot the pilot, we were very hopeful of the pickup, and then when it comes out and the numbers are good, you're very hopeful of the back nine order, and then when they stay consistent, you're very hopeful for season 2, but it came months before I was expecting it.
And, right, absolutely.
And I'm very thankful to Mark Pedos, the CW, for such a, and everyone at Warner Brothers for such a, it was a huge vote of confidence, and it lets us tell our story in the way that we want to without fear of, you know, if we're going to have enough room to tell it.
When do you start shooting 50 Shades of Grey? When does that happen?
Never. Five minutes after never.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because it's important to get that information out there as often as possible so people stop asking Stephen about it. All right.
Thank you.
Arrow tonight on the CW at 8. Great to catch up with you again, man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephen. I'm just saying, if you're going to call your podcast Never Not Funny, that's a lot of pressure, my friend. That's a pretty high bar, Jimmy Pardo, to really succeed every time you open the mic.
Yeah, it was a mistake. It was a horrible decision on my part. Are you kidding me? Then, you know, then every jerk on iTunes thinks they're the first guy to go, Never Not Funny. Oh, he's like, always not funny.
Right.
Hey, aren't you clever in your parents' basement? You failure.
Funny some of the time, funny once in a while.
Every now and then.
Yeah, you need to lower the expectations is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there was a huge failure, a huge mistake on my part. To this day, we regret it. But, you know, but hey, here's the thing. I deliver.
That's right. That's right. It's been working. Jimmy Pardo is here, of course, from the Never Not Funny podcast. It's been a while since we had you in.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has happened since your last visit to the Kevin Amin show that I am still laughing about was the tragedy of throwing out the first pitch at the Chicago White Sox game, which I love so much, Jimmy. I don't know if Kevin has heard about this.
No, please tell me.
Would you mind sharing something? Because we just had Lamorne Morris in from New Girl last week, and he just threw out the pitch at the Cubs game recently and just nailed it like a baller. Like, he went up there and just threw a heater. And I thought, that's the greatest thing in the world when you get out there and you're a baseball fan, as I know you are, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You get out there and you have that opportunity to fulfill that boyhood dream and throw one over the plate.
Yes.
Now, I failed twice at that. Twice.
Yeah, Kevin said it twice at Dodger Stadium.
How big of a failure?
Hit the dirt.
Well, hit the dirt both times. Second time, I fell on my face.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then how is my – you say mine's a failure. How is mine compared to that? Mine's a win.
Oh, no, Kevin's much worse than you are, but I know but Kevin also doesn't care about baseball,
right.
So it really didn't hurt him.
Well, here's the thing.
That's true.
When I got there and I was representing Conan, which two dreams were happening. I was representing a late night talk show.
Right.
Which was my dream growing up, was to replace Johnny Carson. I think we all know that's not going to happen. I'm not bland enough.
Now,
the only time that got interesting was for 9 months, and then they fired that guy.
Right.
So then, and I'm a White Sox fan from the south side of Chicago. So there I am. I'm representing Conan, throwing out the first pitch for the White Sox.
All right.
Everything's right with the world.
Everything's great. Now, the pitch went great. It was just if it's a left-handed batter, it was just a little bit inside.
Well, that's not bad at all.
It was great. You kidding me?
All right.
So it was a beauty. The pitch was great. My dad's there, my wife, my son. It was the greatest day in baseball history. I'm going to go that far and say that.
That seems like maybe an exaggeration.
No, they're talking about this. This is going to overtake Bill Buckner.
Is that right?
It's going to overtake Cal Ripken.
Did it go right into the Hall of Fame?
They're talking about it.
They're talking about it. They're, you know, it's up for discussion as it is every year, like Chicago getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
And Kiss. It's never going to happen. So then I felt great. You know, White Sox lost. That was to be expected.
Sure.
And I take no blame for that.
Things are right with the world.
Sure. So then you go to bed. I mean, the greatest day of my life. And that, other than my son being born and being married. But, you know, ridiculous, shallow nonsense. The greatest day of my life. I wake up the next day. I have a gazillion texts. People just texting me going, hey, you got to look at the Chicago Sun-Times. You're on the back page of the Sun-Times. This is great. You're on the back of the Sun-Times. Like, oh, here we go, right? Yeah.
A continuation. This is day two. We're going to build.
Day two. Local boy done good. You know, every kid that pushed me down in grade school can suck it. I mean, this is the greatest day in a young 5'4" nut bar comedian's life, right?
And you're thinking, why am I in the paper? Are they planning the ticker tape parade down Michigan Avenue?
Right.
They want me to come back and throw it out every game?
Exactly.
What's happening?
Right. It's going to be a recurring thing. Every Sunday, they're going to have the throwback uniforms and Jimmy Pardo throw out a pitch. They're talking about it up in the offices. I'm going to have a suite named after me. I run down to the hotel Starbucks, and I run to the newspapers. I flip it over, and there's a picture of me looking like I'm I don't even know what the polite way of saying this is.
Fruity.
There we go, fruity. I look like I'm in the ballet. It is the worst. It's like they went out of their way. Like they went, what's the worst photo of this guy? Found it.
Was it part of your throwing the pitch, or was it just a weird one from
someplace
else?
It was me throwing the pitch. And if you put a glove on my left hand, it might not look that bad.
Right.
But the fact, like, both of my hands are Mr. Roper doing the, you know, from Three's Company. Both of them are very feminine. And then my foot's up in a weird, like, everything about it's awful.
I wanted to see that picture.
It's on Facebook, or not Facebook, yeah, it's on
we'll find it and tweet it.
The internet will. Somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's
sweet.
It was
You could not have, if they had said to you, use your acting powers and do the silliest throw you can.
No,
and we'll take a photo of
it.
You couldn't have done it.
No, and here's the beauty. Here's what's happening. I'm falling off the mound. That's a baseball term, Kevin. I know you don't care for it.
Oh, no. I know you've been falling off the mound. I get that.
I was falling off the mound. I was following through. It's actually beautiful form, but without the glove and without really any athleticism,
right.
I look like I should be in, you know, I don't know. I can't even go. I don't know what the PC words are anymore these days.
We don't either, but... We had this conversation about Kevin when he is whiffed both times on the mound at Dodger Stadium. For a comedian, though, it's the best possible thing that could happen because it's a story you can tell for the rest of your life. It's something people will always laugh about.
Yes.
If you had just gone out there and been the man you hoped to be and thrown a strike and gone back to your seat, we would have already forgotten about it. No one would ever bring it up.
You know what? You're right. It would have been a big who cares. It would have been like, hey, you lived, you know, you accomplished some sort of dream.
Right.
And then you move on with your life and you look for the next dream. But you're right. Now it's here we are almost a year later. June of last year.
That's why I failed twice.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I can have
just
a story.
Just keep talking about it?
Right. Sure.
Sure, that's it.
I know we have to take a break. Jimmy Pardo is here from Never Not Funny, the podcast, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. I'll just tell you real quick, as an aside, I was a phone-a-friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back in the day, and it's the exact same type of thing. It was a flaming disaster. Oh. It was embarrassing, and it hurt. But we got so much more out of it by the fact that I didn't know the answer than if I had. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, when you have a comedy job, I guess you just hope for bad things to happen to you, right?
What was the question? Can I try to guess it?
The question that
the millionaire.
Failed on?
Yeah, failed millionaire.
We'll give you the chance at that when we come back and see how you would have done. How about that?
I like the radio of it.
Jimmy Pardo is here. We'll return in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. The great Jimmy Pardo, and I don't use that term very often, but I think you've earned it, Mr. Pardo, is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Never Not Funny podcast. And by the way, for all these, the Corollas and the newbies in the podcast world over the past couple of years, tell the kids when you started your podcast, Jimmy.
We started March of 2006.
2006, which was, by the way, pre-internet, I would like to remind you people.
That was true.
Before there was an internet.
There wasn't even email.
No, I was just sitting down with Al Gore. I have to do a radio show that's not on radio. Let's invent a reason to get this happening.
You couldn't even make a long-distance call back in 2006.
No,
you were making podcasts.
Yeah, we were doing it on dial-up. It was
incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, before the break, we were talking about embarrassing stories, and from a comedic standpoint, when something goes horribly, there's a lot more to laugh about throughout the years than if the thing had gone well. And I mentioned that I had been a phone-a-friend for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
The Celebrity Edition, you asked what the question was. Now, I'm going to play a little piece of tape for you, and then I'll stop and see if you would have gotten the answer. Ray Romano, by the way, was the celebrity who was on the show. He's the one who called me to ask the question.
Okay? He put you on his phone a friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. On my recommendation, I was like, Bean knows everything.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's a human walking encyclopedia. That's the guy.
So it's been a number of years now, and of course, the Kevin and Bean audience know how badly I failed, but let's see how you would do with the same call, Jimmy.
All right, Bean, when he comes on the line, he's going to read you the question. Four possible answers. One of them is the right answer. Start now.
What is the capital of the Republic of Georgia? Sofia, Vilnius, Tbilisi, Tallinn.
What do you think about that, Jimmy Pardo?
I wouldn't know that if you gave me 15 more choices.
No. the capital of the Republic of Georgia is what he was asking.
Well, Atlanta wasn't one of the choices.
No, that's a different Georgia.
Boy, you know what's funny? Is Never Not Funny has a listener who lives in the Republic of Georgia.
Really?
And she writes in from time to time, yeah.
She's going
to
scold you for this.
Oh,
for not
what a failure, her right? There's only got to be one city there.
Right. Can I tell you what's funny is your joke about Atlanta?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Here it comes.
Anything? Can you narrow it down?
Yeah, see if Regis will accept Atlanta.
See, there you go.
Ah! See?
What else can you do but say Atlanta,
you
right?
You have to, right? As easy as it is, two professional entertainer comedians just used it.
Yeah. That's all we got.
So I'm going to go with the D.
No, the actual answer was Tbilisi. Tbilisi was the capital.
Oh,
which,
Tbilisi. Of course, Tbilisi.
Of course, he's there. And by the way, and here's the PS of that story, because you had your waking up the next morning to find out that you're the embarrassment of the Windy City because of your first pitch. So I wake up the next day, and I happen to have a guy painting in my house. He's doing some painting in the living room in the house. And he says, hey, your TV thing happened last night. How'd it go? And I said, I crashed and burned. It was a disaster. He said, what was the question? This is a guy painting my house.
Oh, no.
And you already see where this is headed. Of course he knew it.
Of course
he's like, oh, Tbilisi, obviously. Tbilisi. And I'm like, womp, 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 womp.
Did he say, you got it right? Of course, because it's Tbilisi.
And then you said, yeah, you missed a spot.
I couldn't believe that this guy who's painting my house would have been a better phone-a-friend for Ray Romano than I was.
Yeah,
so.
Then put a second coat on.
You know what I mean? It was pretty embarrassing.
Still, he's still a painter when push comes to shove.
Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I had something else that I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Pardo.
What?
And I don't know if this is something you will mind talking about.
Sure.
Your father-in-law is Star Trek's Chekhov.
Yes, the original, not the new reboot. One.
Yeah, because that would be weird if John Cho were your father.
Well, that's Sulu. I think that'd be Sulu.
Oh, that's right. He's Sulu. Sorry. Yeah. That would be weird, though, right?
Hey, here's a quick side story. We went when I first started dating my wife. We went back to for Christmas to Chicago to see my family, and my cousin's husband insisted it was Sulu.
What?
And he's like, well, it's Sulu, right? We're like, no, it's Chekhov, Walter Koenig. He's like, no, it's Sulu. It's like, she's right here.
Right.
Why is this
her
conversation?
Father.
Why is this even happening? Do we think we're running a game on you? Why? Drop it, you jackass.
Was that weird for you when you started dating your beautiful wife, who's also a very funny comedian, by the way? Was it kind of weird for you to go home and meet the family and have it be this iconic television character that you undoubtedly knew about as a kid?
Here's the weird thing, and I don't want to get sad because he's since passed away, but mm-hmm. it was weirder for me to meet her brother Andrew Koenig, who played Boner on Growing Pains. And so, because I knew that character more, I wasn't a Star Trek guy. I wasn't a Trekkie at all. So,
right.
It was just my girlfriend's dad. But then when she said, you know, my brother was Boner on Growing Pains, like, well, dude, I grew up watching that guy.
We're all excited.
That's
and
hilarious.
So that one was a little weird.
Given her a hint to get out in your ass.
Yeah. We're going to be married 9 years next week.
Wow.
So we've been together a long time.
What about when she finds out you didn't get stuff at the market like you were supposed to?
Well, it's good. Yeah, I've let her down. I've let her down on more than one occasion. Trust me.
Is Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend? Is he a relative at all of the family?
I'm going to say no.
The lead singer of Vampire Weekend? No, he's not.
If you're just guessing, say yes.
Oh, then you're going to do follow-ups and I don't have any answers.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is. Ezra is from Vampire Weekend, you say?
Yeah, he's the lead singer of Vampire Weekend, a very, very popular band. They're playing our K-Rock Weenie Roast this Saturday. It's an unusual last name to see, so that's why I thought maybe you guys were related to. I'm somewhat interested in how celebrities are related to each other because I'm convinced that all celebrities know each other. But you dig deep enough and you find out that, you know, like Rip Torn and Sissy Spacek are first cousins and things like that. You go, wait, everybody's related and knows everybody.
Well, what's interesting about that is that they're related. Nobody would ever think it. But to this day, every person I meet thinks I'm related to Don Pardo. Like, they insist, you know, oh, you related to Don? As if they're the first person ever asked me that.
Right, and then you say no, and then they go, are you sure?
You sure? What about Sulu? You related to Sulu? Like,
But at least the, I mean, I guess the Don thing, they're just making, they're making the jump because, A, you're in show business, and B, you've got that big announcer kind
of
voice.
I do have a good set of pipes. There's no doubt about that.
You certainly do.
But you think once I would say no, again, they would drive. It's like, no, I'm not.
End of story, right.
Yeah, I'm 47. I've looked into it. Right. You know, I'm not.
He would be my, if what you're saying is true, he would be my father. And I'm pretty sure
that's
not the case. No, I'm saying for you.
Would he be my dad?
Well, I would think so.
Wow, that seems... What?
Isn't he old?
Yeah, but well, what do you suggest? I'm old? What happened?
No, no, I'm just saying...
What's wrong? Somehow I'm getting hurt in this. I don't know how it happened.
I don't think so.
What just happened?
Did I misunderstand the math?
It's not meant to be insulting.
I guess he would be my dad. My dad's a fine man who just retired.
Okay, all right.
Before we go...
Before
we go, Jimmy, and again, go to nevernotfunny.com, right? Or podcast.com.
Actually,
one, right?
It's podcast.com or nevernotfunnypodcast.com. If you go to nevernotfunny.com, some guy who hasn't updated his site in ages owns that domain, and the front page is a guy with a guy, and I hate this word. It's a drawing of a guy farting with the no sign through it.
Okay.
So don't,
and that's the
don't
only
go
thing
there.
On there?
It's so unfunny.
Did you try and buy it?
This guy's avoiding us. I gotta get somebody on it.
Somebody who owns a site that's not using it and doesn't sell to other people.
I agree.
That guy's a dick.
Total dick.
That sounds like something happens.
He has like 35 of them.
Is he that guy?
Yeah, he's that guy.
You bought up a bunch back
and
in 2007.
Like one.
One day I'm going to sell Microsoft.com and it's going to make me so much money. It's going to be awesome. All right, listen. We got
to
go, Jimmy. We're out of time.
Me.
It's always a pleasure, and Conan show's going well. People should still be watching that weeknights on TBS at 11, right?
Yeah, they should still be watching. I don't see the reason why they should stop.
That was not an insult either.
Yeah, I misunderstand that one too.
Defensive.
What's going on, guys? I didn't buy a scone. Get off my back.
So Conan is your dad. Got it. Thanks for coming in.
Shop Plumbers Furniture Gardena store closing sale happening now. Save up to 60% off our already low prices on furniture for every room in your home. Hurry in for best selection. Everything must go. Visit Plumbers today. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 7:52.
The beautiful Jill Wagner from ABC's Wipeout joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And stand by to win your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 coming up just after 9 as well. The show is this Saturday. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Everything must go. What does that ever mean when people say everything must go? What happens if everything doesn't go? What happens? You go to jail? Is there some sort of penalty?
I've never thought of that.
Everything doesn't must go. Doesn't must have go.
Well, I think if a place is going out of business and they literally have to remove all the merchandise from a store, then it's got to go, whether it sells to you cheaply or they just move it out when the lease is up.
They just take it to the dump?
Or whatever they do with it. But the point is it can't stay in that location.
Well, it does if you're going to close the place. It's got to go
somewhere. Yeah, if somebody else is moving in, then everything must go so that the next person can move
in. So go in the literal sense that it has to leave the location.
It has to leave the location, exactly, yes.
But they don't have to sell everything. They don't have
money. They're going to try, but...
That's true.
What are we talking about?
We should say, look, we would like everything to be sold, please. Come on down. We'd like everything to be sold, please. See, that would be a more honest approach, I think, to what people say when they say that.
It's easier for us if you buy up all the inventory so we don't have to deal with it when we close the doors.
Why does everything have to go? Are there go police? Do they come here and give you a citation if everything doesn't go? What's up with that? You know what else gets on my nerves?
No, what?
The suicide watch for the heinous criminals. The suicide watch.
Oh, right.
Jodi Arias or whatever hell her name is.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Ortiz. What's her name? That was that broad who killed that guy.
I think it's Arias.
Yeah. And this sick F from Cleveland who had those women for a decade locked up in his house, he's on suicide watch. Why are we trying to keep him from killing himself?
I don't know.
Why don't we put him in a room full of razor blades and belts and shoelaces and poisons and guns and everything? Just lock him in there and let nature take its course. Worst case scenario, he takes himself out, saves the taxpayer all that time in the courtroom and putting him in a jail and everything else.
I'm with you.
Where's the downside in that? Best case scenario, we don't have to keep an eye on him. So if he kills himself, all right, nobody's looking, it happens. We don't have to encourage it, but we don't have to stop it either, do we? Do we really have to stop these people from killing themselves?
I'm with you.
If you're really looking for an answer, I think the government feels like if you're in their custody, they have a responsibility to try to help you stay safe.
Right, but how hard do they have to try?
Well,
The average prisoner doesn't get suicide watch. They're not constantly keeping an eye on you to make sure nothing happens if you're in there for jaywalking or something, right?
Right.
Only the most heinous, the most evil of the criminals, they're the ones we try the hardest to keep from killing themselves.
So that we can kill them.
Right.
At some point.
And some of them still get away with it, like Jeffrey Dahmer, perfect example of a guy who committed suicide in prison.
And nobody shed a tear. Everybody said, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Glad that worked out that way. What's up with Suicide Watch? All right, well, my time's up. Thanks for coming by, everybody.
With these death row prisoners, Ralph, everything must go.
Wait a minute. Death Row has prisoners? I thought they were a record company. All right, let me make up for all of that by giving you some tickets to the Fast and Furious 6 premiere.
I'm not sure that'll make up for all of it.
Come on, FF6.
Sure.
You know you want to see it. You want to see The Rock. You want to see Vin Diesel. You want to see Paul Walker. You want to see a somehow reincarnated Michelle Rodriguez. You want to see them all drive fast and be really angry.
I looked into that, Ralph, after you brought it up, and apparently this...
Their evil twin?
No. Oh. This Fast and Furious 6 apparently is set as a prequel between Fast and Furious 3 and 4, I think.
That's
it should be called 3.5.
Well, that's not the least bit confusing.
I may be a little bit wrong about the timing, but yeah, apparently this goes back to where Michelle Rodriguez was still alive in the series.
Let me get this straight. Paul Walker goes back in time and resets the timeline so that Leonard Nimoy can show up and still play Spock?
Let's go with that.
Okay. How can you love it? It's crap. Fast and Furious 6, it's happening Universal City Walk Tuesday, May the 21st. You'll be amongst the first people to see it because it's in theaters everywhere on Friday, May the 24th. Don't you want to see it? Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Call right now, and you'll get to see the return of Agent Luke Hobbs and Dominic and all the people who drive fast. And, oh, they're furious. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through get a pair of tickets to the L.A. premiere of Fast and Furious 6. While we're talking about star of Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel, he has a lot of wonderful qualities, I think. Humility may not be one of them. Interesting report this week saying that Vin Diesel says he's as popular as Barack Obama. Certainly on Facebook, he says. He believes Facebook, now that they've gone public, owes him billions of dollars for promoting their site. Saying at one time he had the most popular page in the entire world on Facebook.
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel.
Okay.
First of all, even if he did, who cares? Second of all,
it is Facebook.
Seriously.
Yeah. I got a lot of people looking at Facebook.
It's like
my cousin in Philadelphia.
I don't understand the logic of that. I mean, you know, Lady Gaga, the president, Justin Bieber, all these people have lots of followers, but they are using the service. They're getting the benefit of what Facebook offers them, too.
I would say you're right, Bean. Christina Aguilera, she's coming back as a coach on the next season of NBC's The Voice. She's the only one we know for sure will be back. You know why she'll be back?
Why?
Well, TheWrap.com reports that she will get $12.5 million for her season 5 duties.
Wow.
Wow.
One season's worth of work. You know what she does? She hits a button and her chair spins around.
That's true. This new group of judges, man, they're just killing American Idol with this group of judges. They're so good. This Adam Levine and Shakira and Blake Shelton, they're so good on The Voice as judges.
Well, you'll be sad to know, being that Shakira's not returning to The Voice. She will go take her midget ass somewhere else.
It's a sweet midget ass, though.
CeeLo Green reportedly trying to negotiate his way back onto the show. Adam Levine and Blake Shelton are also trying to work out new deals, so the only one that's confirmed is Xtina. She could make as much as $17 million for season 5, depending on how many hours she has to work.
Now, for a season,
she's got a clause in her contract.
Do they work like two months? I mean, how long? For a season?
I think tops.
Maybe, right?
And I know they do have to sit in the spinning chairs. They have to do that, which must be exhausting,
right?
Especially for CeeLo.
With his, trying to reach the button.
With his Tyrannosaurus Rex arms trying to reach that button, he could pull something. I can see why he would get paid a lot. But other than that, I think then they have to take him in a room someplace and say, oh, that sounded good, or don't sing this note or something. I think they
yeah, they work with the people on their team. They prepare them for the live performances.
All right, Bean, stop trying to make this sound like it's something, okay?
Okay.
They just go in a room and they sing a little bit with some people.
That's also accurate.
$17 million.
Pretty sweet gig.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
She'll make more from The Voice than she could make in another record, I'll tell you that.
I agree, sir. Although she does have all that, all those food costs. That cuts into her bottom line.
That's for true.
Quite around her bottom.
Today's celebrity birthday. What? Today's celebrity birthdays. Chaz Palminteri is 67 years old today. ESPN's Dan Patrick turns 57. Ray Lewis, former Raven linebacker, is 38 years old.
But you got to give it up for him for going out as a Super Bowl champ, right?
Absolutely.
Sure. That's the way to go. That's nice.
Yeah. David Krumholtz is 35 years old. Actress Jamie Lynn Sigler is 32. You know, I almost had a moment with there trying to get birthdays out of my mouth. Did something happen while I was gone? I got an email for something about Bean and Hitler and a phone call. Somebody called in and Hitler answered or something. Was there a moment
No, it was just I was trying to hit the little phone ring sound effect. This one here.
Right.
And I accidentally hit this one. And Kevin just thought it was hilarious that Hitler somehow forced his way to the conversation.
I was curious how Hitler got involved myself.
Yeah. And of course, somebody's waiting on the phone. We're trying to go to him, and he's playing Hitler.
He's having Hitler scream no at them in German.
Right. For whatever reason, I couldn't find the phone, so it was a little bit of a mess for a minute, but I think we recovered.
It was the Aryan and Bean show there for a moment. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Wednesday, less than an hour away from your first chance this morning for tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 in the pit, by the way, and backstage passes. And you should be at krock.com for details on that and also how it's all going down over the weekend in terms of set times. And I think we're showing the thing. We're streaming it again like we do, right?
I don't know why you would ask that without having the information. Why would you bring that up?
Because I think we are. I think I saw that yesterday. I thought you may know more about it than I do.
I don't. Never assume that.
All right. Apparently, krock.com is where you want to go for all the information. And if, whether you have tickets or not for this weekend, your chance to win is coming up. Mr. Rogers, back in the news. He's been dead, a couple of years now? He's the you got to put him on the short list of the greatest children's entertainers of all time. He had that show on PBS that ran for 25 years or something like that. Who didn't grow up with Mr. Rogers at one point or another, right?
He always creeped me out. When I was a kid, he creeped me out.
Just a little. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because
he seemed because he was too nice?
He was too nice. Yeah. Too sappy, too syrupy. Good words. Yeah. He was just, all right, take it easy.
Over the line.
Take it easy, dude.
But you've got me too much.
You've got candy in a van. All right.
Yeah. Isn't that what you want from an adult?
No.
Is somebody who's nice to you, though, and you is unthreatening?
Yes, but that's too nice and too unthreatening.
Yeah. There's Deadline.
It's like a clown, Bean. There's something underneath there that you just don't trust.
Deadline.com reports that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, a screenplay about the late and beloved TV icon, has been picked up by Treehouse Pictures with the intent to make it into a big screen feature. There's not a lot of details on the story. They are saying that, you know, that we are assuming it's going to be a biopic, but we don't know exactly, and nor do we know who is going to be cast to play Mr. Rogers, but we thought we might get some more information from the man who probably knows. Let's fire up the Hotline to Heaven and get the great Fred Rogers on the line with us. It's been a while since we talked to Mr. Rogers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, Heaven.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
There
a
is.
Beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. Okay. A neighborly day for a beauty.
Right.
Could you
be nice.
Mine?
Nice. Sweet to hear
Could
that again.
Could you be mine?
Still singing.
I have always
All right.
wanted to have a neighbor just like you.
Fred, can we talk to you?
I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood.
Mr.
With
Rogers?
You. So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Got it. Right. Mr. Rogers, we.
Since we're together, we might as well say.
Well, can we chat about this?
Could you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Okay, fine. Hi, Fred.
Hi, radio neighbor. Glad we're together again.
Well, we're glad to have you too, Mr. Rogers. How are things in heaven today?
Heavenly. It's great up here in heaven. Yeah. Everything's nice, just like me. Everybody's nice. Mm-hmm. Mr. McFeely's here. Delivers a package to me from time to time.
Is that right?
Yeah. How do you mean?
He delivers a package.
Okay.
Filled with green, green, green leaves. I love leaves. I like to roll them up and smoke them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I see.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. Is that why you were always...
Do you like to smoke weed?
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Is that why you were always so... Over?
You can't... All right, Mr. Rogers, you can't use that kind of language on the radio.
I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've been on television or radio.
Right.
Please be careful.
I apologize.
What's going on in the land
of... What's up with you today, Kevin and Bean?
Well, I wanted to know if the land of make-believe made it to heaven or if that's still down here on Earth.
Oh, no. Land of make-believe's up here. I get out my puppets all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I get out King Friday.
Yeah.
And Daniel Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and I stick him in my pants.
Okay. I'm going to... move on to a new line of questioning, Mr. Rogers.
Sometimes I use a puppet. Yeah, okay. Pretend it's someone else.
Right. All right.
Take this, X the Owl.
Okay. Mr. Rogers, I'm very uncomfortable with this. Please.
Oh, the Owl.
Okay.
Oh.
No, thank you.
Makes the Listen. Owl face. Oh.
Okay, no, I understand. Let's move on. The reason we're calling is to see if you have heard about the plan to turn your story into a movie.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they're talking about making a film called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, all about you and how you developed your children's show and the years.
That is something else. I'm surprised they're doing that.
Yeah, I was too. Very popular.
That's great. Are they going to cover the years where I was a sniper in the Marines and killed all those people?
Okay,
is that true? I thought that was just a rumor.
I could blow your brains out from about a mile away.
That's just an internet hoax. That
I
never happened.
A
you
great
didn't.
Shot. No, I killed me a lot of Charlie back in Nam.
You never served. You were not in the service.
That was... Turned their brains into pink mist.
That was a false rumor.
Never was true.
Are they going to cover me getting all my tattoos, my sleeves?
You're not
up
sleeved.
And down? Oh, yeah,
nope.
Sleeved.
That's another internet hoax.
I have lots of swastikas on my
Just
arm.
No, another you don't. Rumor. You don't have tattoos at all.
I do. A lot of nude women as well.
No, Mr. Rogers, why would you say something like that? There might be children listening. Come on.
I put a bitch on the back of my Harley, take her for a ride. Okay. Maybe let the rest of the gang pull a train on her.
Okay, Mr. Rogers.
Back in the good old days.
Why would you say something like that? You were married to your wife for like 40 years.
That's when I was running hash up from Mexico.
You did that?
Yeah. Are they going to put that in the movie?
I hope.
It
doesn't sound like it.
Tell the whole truth.
Do
they
you
didn't
have
find the bodies, did they?
Oh, dear God, Mr. Rogers, please don't even say that.
We're not aware of anybody's that
okay,
were found.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, that's good.
Okay.
Do you have don't look under the porch in the neighborhood. Lots
Do you have
of little bodies.
Oh, please, come on. Why would you even say that?
Oh.
It's not funny, Mr. Rogers.
It's funny.
It's not funny. You're right.
Oh,
okay. I feel bad about it.
Well, don't Mr. Rogers, feel too bad. I mean,
do you have any?
Most of them were killed by McFeely, though.
Okay.
I just helped him bury him.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes he'd bring me a package.
Uh-huh.
There'd be an ear in there.
What?
Okay. You know what? I kind of feel like we've heard enough maybe
Wait,
about
no.
Mr. Rogers.
We haven't even talked about the roofies.
The roofies?
Yeah.
I have not heard about that.
Oh.
I didn't hear that rumor.
Put some roofies in a chocolate milk.
Okay. Sing us out, Mr. Rogers. We got to go. We're out of time, sir.
It's a beautiful...
Oh. How did this happen? You were fine.
He drank his own roofie.
Come on.
I said if I had to sing that song one more time, I'm gonna screw up.
This may be a good movie after all.
I just heard Lisa Major in the song say, I love big balls. I heard that.
She did say that. Yeah. I love those balls so much.
We were talking about Wipeout Thursday nights at 8 on ABC. Hey, kids, it's our friend Jill Wagner back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
Hi, Jill.
I'm so happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having
me. It's great to see you again. I feel like it's been too long. I thought love had died, but here you are.
Love is alive.
Appreciate that. Producer Dave tells me that you just got back from Afghanistan. What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. I went on kind of a goodwill tour over there to see our soldiers. And while I was there... there was two rockets fired at the base that I was at. And so what they told us when we came in, they said, okay.
We don't like Wipeout!
Is that what they told
right?
you?
Right? That was payback from all the contestants. Basically, they said, if we have an incoming attack, you're supposed to drop to the ground. And then on the first siren, on the second siren, you're supposed to run out and get into the bunkers.
Okay.
Well, all of that happened at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I slept through it.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Two rockets. So one of them landed 200 yards away from where I was sleeping.
You slept through the...
I slept through a rocket attack.
What the hell? But
jet
help
lag,
me,
my friend.
Help me understand. So are you on a base? Is there some sort of a green zone that you're in?
Yeah, we stayed on... we stayed Bagram, actually. Uh-huh. And then we flew around in Black Hawk helicopters.
Awesome.
Awesome, right?
Oh, dude.
So cool. To the different FOBs and everything and to see the soldiers. And it was a trip of a lifetime. it was amazing.
That's what everybody says who comes back from this. I mean, it's so humbling, and you just are so grateful for the work that they're doing out there in the field. What do you do on the USO show besides, you know, meet people, photos, autographs, and things like that? Do you have a singing and a dancing and a telling jokes?
Turkish Airlines lost my American flag sequin bikini, so that number was out.
That's stupid.
Unfortunately.
She's dead without the bikini,
that's
though, right?
That's the story, she's sticking to it. That's my story. So I just went around and talked to him. I mean, I think, you know, really all they want is to know that they're still remembered and appreciated. Yeah. And we just talked to a lot of people. And I was surprised at how many women I was talking to that had five kids back home. And that the husbands are actually taking care of the kids. And
well, they just left because they didn't want to get pregnant again.
They're like, safer.
Seriously, somebody in Afghanistan, I cannot have another kid.
It's awful.
What strikes you about the people that you met there? Anything?
I think that, you know, just how, like you said, just how humble you're talking about our soldiers?
Yeah.
Or you?
Yeah.
I think that it's so amazing to meet people that look you in the eye and that speak with authority and that are very just dedicated to something. Yeah. And I wish that they could come home. And
sure.
And I think that they're great role models for the people here, and there's so many of them. And everyone.
Well, they're
that
better than we are. That's
they're
the
better
thing
than
to
we are.
Right.
They're
better
what I'm
than
trying
we
to
are.
Say.
They're Absolutely. Willing to do something that apparently we're too chicken to do.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So, wow, that's great. That's awesome that you got to do that. Was this your first time with the USO tour?
It was. Yeah, I've been trying to go for like 3 years, and then, you know, work would come up or whatever. But this time I was definitely going. And
did any soldiers ask you what you do, and you had to go? I host. There's a show where people run over balls.
I felt like an idiot because, because a pretty big star, Romany Malco, went with me, and he was on the 40-year-old virgin. He's like a really, really super funny guy, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, Romany Malco, Romany!" And then it's like, "Who is this? Your girlfriend?" I was like, but as soon as you said "big red balls,"
sure, right?
She does the big red balls, then. No, that's not what they say.
That's an international
she
language.
She hosts the show
that's right.
with the big red balls on them. Yeah.
Look, Jill, everybody is going to know who you are after the Senior Citizens, Kids, and Convicts episode airs tomorrow night. I mean, that's going to be the one that's going to put you on the map.
All of those were John Henson's ideas.
Those are great
really?
Ideas.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me about the convicts. Like, what's the vetting process that I'm going to put you on a game show, but you have to have committed a felony? How does that work? How do you find these people?
Well, they don't come to us. We kind of just went to
San Quentin.
Places and
you just wait in the parking lot for whoever walks out next. Hey, want to be on TV?
Our next contestant, Jody. That's bad.
Was that a Jody Arias joke?
Yes, it was. It was.
Come on. Hey, she'll be alive for another 2 months. You can get her on the show. What kinds of convicts, Jill?
Bad ones.
You don't know, do you?
I can't tell. It's a secret.
Oh, you're not allowed to give it away?
I can't tell. These are all ideas that
tomorrow night's episode is called Senior Citizens, Kids, and Convicts. That, to me, says you have already filmed it and interviewed people.
Yeah, you don't do this show live.
For convicts.
Yes. All I remember is I interviewed a horse at some point.
You interviewed
that.
A horse?
Yeah. And a mime.
Who had committed a crime?
And a mime.
A mime. I don't know. I don't
you interviewed
really,
a mime.
They don't tell
that
me.
That was a
easy.
Fascinating interview.
Actually, it was.
How old are the senior citizens? What's the limits that ABC puts on you?
You have to be 41 and up.
That's senior citizen.
That's senior
you're
citizen
so joking.
Now?
I'm just joking.
You have to be 81 and up.
Yeah, I want to see an 80-year-old out
grandma.
There on the course.
I don't have people who are going to break.
Well, that's why I'm asking. That's why
that
I want
to get
know.
Me to watch.
That's hey, you're no, what do you mean? You're not watching already?
I mean, yeah, I am. Of course.
No,
I am.
That would be awesome.
I'm here,
if,
you know.
That would be awesome
out.
If
how dare you.
One of these senior citizens will break a hip tonight
right.
on a very special night.
Right.
Out.
Do you know how many people would watch that?
Yes, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Sadly.
How does your hip feel?
Sure.
That'll be your role.
All right. Jill Wagner is here. We're talking about Wipeout. Out, which returns tomorrow night on ABC at 8 o'clock. We have many more questions for Jill, none of which she'll answer, but we have a lot of questions coming up next right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Jill Wagner in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can see her on your TV tomorrow night on ABC at 8 for Wipeout with an episode called Senior Citizens, Kids, and Convicts. Can't wait. Hey, Jill, you took a little time. You turned your back. You basically poo-pooed your Wipeout family and left the show for a season. Please explain.
Well, I wanted to go and do a little acting on Teen Wolf, which I did because, you know, mm-hmm. my love of firing guns and killing werewolves and stuff.
Sure.
So I did that, and now I'm back. Is that good
Were
enough?
Were you? Yeah. It seems awfully vague. I want to know, so you left to go do Teen Wolf, but then you was the plan always that you were going to come back to Wipeout?
I don't think I had a plan.
Oh, okay.
I tried to go through
like
life without
that.
A plan.
I like to hear that.
Just see what happens.
That reinforces my way of living. I like it. But you were excited to be back with the family.
Absolutely. You know, it's like this season. I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels fresh. It feels new. And it's fun.
Are you getting a lot more contestants, all of whom have, of course, seen the show and all of whom are convinced that they can wreck it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing that I get to, oh, I can do this. This is going to be so easy.
Right.
And I actually try to convince people not to go through the course.
Really?
You do.
Well, because I've seen, I know what's going to happen. So the nice people.
You can just size them up, can't you?
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, who does the best? It's always the skaters and the surfers.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
It's
so
not
agile.
The bodybuilders. Yeah. It's not the big, you know, guys that come in that look like they're all roided
the
up.
The weightlifters and all that.
No. They can't.
You're
do
right.
It.
It's just
or
it's just like
on, does well that kind of
right.
thing.
It's just like on Dancing with the Stars, or it's, you know, like the diving shows and stuff like that. Those are the kinds of skills that help you when you really need athleticism. It
Absolutely.
Seems like.
Yeah.
It is now. I don't know if you're how much you're allowed to say about this behind the scenes, but I'm always curious on a show like Wipeout. Is it sort of rigged like a carnival game in that they figure out a way to make it harder than it looks to perform? You know, to go through those obstacle courses.
I mean, it's...
Or is it what you see? What you see is what it's actually like to go through. There's no tricks.
No, I mean, I think there's always, you know, like there's always the hidden motivator with my face on it that comes out behind you and kicks you in the butt. But, I mean, they have hidden parts that are going to scare you and pop up. But for the most part, it's really, really equal. Every person that goes through it is going to have the same amount of...
But the case of the matter, I mean, the truth of the matter is that you could look at it and think that's easy and then go do it. And it is way harder than you think. It's way higher than you
everybody
think.
Everybody thinks it's easy. I mean, I look at it and sometimes I look at contestants going through it. And I'm like, gosh, can't you just get through there? That, I mean, it can't be that hard. But it is. I know it is. I know it's
look,
harder.
Golf
than it
looks easy on TV when you watch Tiger Woods play it.
Golf
right?
looks boring.
Yeah, but it looks easy, though. It looks easy. But then you step out there and try to do that. And you're right. It's much more difficult to actually go through it.
Yeah.
Wipeout is on in 31 countries last time I checked, by the way. Every place like Poland and Russia and Britain and Croatia and Argentina. Have you ever seen any of the international versions of Wipeout, Jill?
No, but I think I need to. Do they have different versions of me?
Yeah, different versions.
Do they look like me?
That I don't know. I bet they do.
Let's
I mean, I
would pull them all up.
That would be
let's
pretty
find
good.
All of them and let's put all of them together.
You guys should have a convention.
We should.
That would be so cool.
Wipeout girls.
I would come to that convention.
Would anyone? Okay, we'd have one person.
I would, yeah. We always say when we watch the show, we say, hey, how about a little less John and a little less John and a little more Jill? That's what we say.
Totally.
That's sweet.
That is our only complaint.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Well, but then people would get tired of me.
I don't think so.
Don't
you
think
give
so.
Them a little bit. Keep them wanting more. That's my theory.
I see. All right.
Tomorrow night at 8 on ABC, it's Wipeout. What's new this season for the summer, by the way? You've got a couple of new games, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of new obstacles, but I think I had the most fun on the episode where it's exes. So it's you and your ex.
Ah.
You go through it together.
Oh, wow.
Are you playing as a team?
Yeah, you start out as a team and then it kind of works against you, works for you. I mean, it's funny how they do it, but it was so fun. I don't know how much they'll air of how my interviews and getting to talk
right.
with them.
Why, was there cursing at each other and fighting?
Oh, yeah.
Was there drama? Really?
There was drama. I mean, these are real people.
Real exes.
And some of them got along. Some of them were cool. But most of them were like, God, back in the day, you know, you did this or you did
There's
that.
There's a reason why they're exes most of the time. And
could
that does
you imagine?
Not work to your benefit in a game.
I could never imagine going through a game show with my ex.
Yeah. Especially one where you're timed and there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. In the best of circumstances.
In the best of circumstances. Right? Even to get along with somebody, it seems like it would make it tough.
Right. That was fun. And then this season, I know that they're adding more characters as far as, like, there's Ballsy and then there's Smallsy. And there's, like, little different
What's
characters.
Happening?
Octopushy, which all have voices and parts of the course animate and come to life and
I think we've lost Jill.
Wow.
I do too. I think she's having some sort of LSD flashback.
The last 40 seconds.
That a cigarette?
Something weird's going on. I think she's back in Afghanistan. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe the rocket did hit me.
All right. One last question. Do have any of the hotties and the nerds ever hooked up?
Because
wouldn't that be a beautiful story if the hotties versus the nerds happened on Wipeout and two of them caught each other's eye?
No, I tried to get that to happen, but. A lot of the women were just not happening. You know, shallow.
But seriously, he's smart. Are you saying that a lot?
Yes, and that's what. But I happen to think that a lot of the nerds were really adorable.
You're
and cute.
Such a liar.
No, I'm not. I promise.
You're
Trust
just
me.
Sweet. You're just
Take
being
a look
nice.
At some of my exes. you'll see that that's.
All right.
I apologize to all of you who are listening.
There is hope for nerds listening everywhere. Jill Wagner is awesome, and she is on Wipeout tomorrow night on ABC at 8. And you can follow the show at Wipeout on Twitter. Follow Jill. You actually tweet yourself at Jill Wagner, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Expect some proposals today now that you've said that you're going to be hearing from a lot of like Green Lantern fans and stuff.
Awesome.
All right, Jill, thanks for coming in. You're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Get your car ready for Memorial Day weekend. Visit JiffyLubeSoCal.com and print your $21.99 Jiffy Lube Signature Service Oil Change coupon and for spectacular offers, and find the location nearest you. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Oh, spectacular.
Spectacular.
What's happening here?
Deal.
Fabulous.
Hey, Jenny Slate. Sometime. Very funny Jenny Slate. In studio coming up after the top of the hour. Before we get to the showbiz beat, Ralph, do you mind if I make a correction? Can I make an apology and a correction for something?
I wish you would, because I'm tired of taking heat for your mistakes.
What? Something that happened last... Well, we were talking about... Ralph was saying, why do we protect these prisoners?
Why do we have the suicide watch?
And I mentioned that Jeffrey Dahmer is a good example of one who committed suicide. But I guess what I didn't realize
is
that
murdered.
He framed another inmate to make it look like he had beaten Jeffrey Dahmer to death with a barbell. That's how he did that when he committed suicide.
See,
so he had
not
a very
backing
unusual way.
Wow. What he's trying to say is he was wrong. He was beaten to death by another prisoner.
You just can't say you're wrong?
I kid, of course. Obviously, right. I was mistaken. I did think that he had committed suicide. I don't know why I thought that. But yeah, many Kevin and Bean listeners have been kind enough to jump up and remind me that he was, in fact, beaten to death. Which, by the way, Ralph, I think is exactly what you're hoping for in your situation. They don't have to commit suicide as long as they end up dead, right?
Well, I'm just saying we don't have to go out of our way to try to protect them from killing themselves.
Understood.
If it happens, it happens. Natural selection, I say.
I'm with you.
Right?
I apologize. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, just after 9, your chance to win those tickets for the K-Rock Winner Rose 2013, too.
Our listeners are a freaking truth squad. They drive me crazy.
They're fact checkers.
Everything you say, you can't be wrong,
I'll tell you that.
However, that being said, I thought I remembered another high-profile murderer who did commit suicide.
I thought I did, too, and I thought it was Dahmer, but clearly we're thinking of someone else.
Yeah, I can't think of who it is, but somebody did it, so shut up. Last night I had a chance to see Star Trek Into Darkness.
Awesome.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow, because it does debut in theaters tomorrow. It's a good movie, I'll give you that much. It's good. I've got some reservations. However, the reason I bring it up is because Zoe Saldana's in the news. She, of course, plays the lovely Uhura in the Star Trek franchise, the rebooted franchise. And she's in Allure magazine in the June issue.
In the nude!
Really? Yeah. Not just topless, but bottomless as well. Shows off a tattoo behind her left breast in one picture.
That is awesome!
Tattoo of a guy with a hand doing this, live long and prosper. Behind her boob. She got a lot of press this week because she is openly discussing her potential bisexuality.
Naked.
All right. In the interview in that same issue of Allure magazine, the June issue. She says, I might end up with a woman raising my children.
All right.
Regarding her relationships. It wasn't a generalization, she says, regarding that comment. It was a statement I strongly stand by. As of today, I've been attracted to the male species, but if one day I wake up and want to be with a woman, I will do that because it's my life. Therefore, it's my decision. Go with God, we say.
All right. Go. Take it easy.
Go nuts. Go hoe that lady garden. That's what I say.
She's a good deal, but she needs to gain like 25 pounds. Am I wrong?
She is slender.
Yeah.
She is quite. Yeah.
She is slender. Last night I was watching the film, and she raised her phaser in front of her and disappeared.
Yeah. Is that right?
All you saw was the phaser. It was like it was floating in the air, and then she moved a little bit. Oh, there's a woman behind that, because she's as wide as a phaser.
Yeah.
Turns out. We got John Cho on tomorrow, right?
Yes, we do.
He has Sulu in the film. He has some great moments in the film I saw last night. And, of course, the original Sulu was Jimmy Pardo's father-in-law.
We found that on...
That's what I heard, yeah.
Earlier today.
So. Is he the one that said... Or Chekhov.
Oh, that's right.
Is he the one that said Kipton? Kipton?
Chekhov.
Chekhov.
Kipton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kipton.
Because he was Russian. The English wasn't his...
Where are the nuclear vessels?
Yeah.
He's known for that line.
English was his second language, Kevin.
Just checking.
Alameda, where they keep the nuclear vessels. Yeah. Walter Koenig, of course. Kickstarter news. Everyone's having success with Kickstarter these days. Rob Thomas famously kicked things off with his Veronica Mars success, and then Zach Braff came out, funded his film. He's got $2.6 million raised for his new project. So Melissa Joan Hart, TV's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, said, well, there's easy money to be had there in Kickstarter.
Sure. People are throwing it away.
For we celebs. So I'm going to fund my new romantic comedy that's going to jettison me into the limelight of a romantic leading lady for romantic comedy films. I'm going to do that. It'll catapult me. Let's do it. Let's slap it up there. I need $2 million for the project. Go. Go, she said to Kickstarters everywhere.
How'd that work out?
They said, nope. After a month, she has closed her effort for raising money. She was hoping to raise $2 million. She ended up raising $51,605.
That's not as much.
Not as much. Shockingly, all the Melissa and Joey fans did not step up and give her the money that she needed. So we'll never get to see that romantic comedy starring Melissa Joan Hart that we were so hoping for.
Were we hoping for that?
As far as you know.
Okay.
And Jaden Smith, young son of Will Smith.
The Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid, soon to be seen in After Earth alongside his superstar father. Will Smith, they co-star together. I wonder how Jaden got that role.
Yeah, that's a good question. He probably tried out.
A series of grueling auditions for him to end up starring opposite Will Smith. He has announced that he wants to be emancipated.
Now,
what?
I saw that headline, Ralph. Please explain, because isn't emancipation for people who are in terrible relationships with their parents?
Usually, young teens who want to be emancipated from their parents, which is basically divorcing yourself from your parents. You become a empowered adult with all the responsibilities and rights thereof, but you are under the age of 18.
You're underage, right.
Yeah. So emancipation usually happens in cases of abuse or neglect or financial duress. Maybe they're stealing your money. You know, if you're a child actor, maybe, and your parents are mismanaging your money, you want to get emancipated, you can handle your own financial affairs.
What's happening here?
Well, you can understand at the age of 14, Jaden must be so tired of being handed record deals and movie roles.
Being crammed down our throats.
He must be exhausted. Oh, I am so tired of my parents forcing me to be in films I don't belong in.
His dad is almost the biggest movie star in the world, and he's trying to get himself as far away from that as possible?
Yeah, apparently Jaden wants his own house.
How old is he?
14.
Okay, you don't live on your own when you're 14.
And you don't get emancipated just because you want to get laid, all right?
Right.
Just wait like the rest of us, or just do it in the back seat of your car like the rest of us, Jaden Smith. You don't get a mansion because you want to start bird-dogging some beeves, all right? Punk kid.
I'm already annoyed that I have to see him in everything Will Smith is in.
14, he wants to be emancipated. Yeah, I'll give you emancipation right here.
And I haven't heard, I mean, the stuff that he's done before, I guess, has been fine, Ralph. I mean, there's been no knock on him as being a terrible actor. He's fine, right?
He's fine.
But do you guys honestly believe he's the best person for that role in this After Earth movie?
Of course not.
Yeah, he's in the right place at the right time. Stay with that.
I've rarely seen such garish nepotism before. Usually it's sort of subtle, but this is just to slap your face with a big thing that slaps.
Face slapper.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, I was going to go for something else, but I
you had to edit like six other things.
Say, I can't talk about this.
Right. Nor do we want to see those hand motions ever again.
I guess you don't.
I think that the
but he's a hell of a rapper. He's got that going for him. That Jaden Smith.
I think the Hollywood Babylon is ruining you, like, Ralph.
It is. It's taken away all my vocabulary except for the F, S, and C words.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jamie Lynn Sigler is 32 years old today. Actor David Krumholtz. Remember that hard-cutting interview Beer Mug had with David Krumholtz? You remember
I don't
that?
Remember him. Who? What's he
I
from?
Don't, David huh? Krumholtz was the star of Numbers.
Yes.
He was
Numbers.
In Numbers.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
He was in Elf. He played the lead elf in Elf. And what was the project you remembered him from, Beer Mug?
Slums of Beverly
Slums
Hills.
Slums of Beverly Hills, which he said, I did it like 15 years ago. He said it to Beer Mug on the red carpet. Can you talk about anything else I've done in the past decade? He was incensed with Beer Mug. I remember you from Slums of Beverly Hills.
I love that movie.
I had a series on television for like six seasons. Ray Lewis is 38 years old today. ESPN's Dan Patrick is 57. Actor Chaz Palminteri is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think this can be fun because Jenny Slate has been in studio for like 2 minutes, and I don't think she said a single thing that's true yet.
No, it's not like, true.
She's a liar. Every word out of her mouth has been a lie, starting with nice to meet you, Kevin Bean, and then following up with I love wearing headphones and talking into microphones.
I really do. I think I love how it sounds, and my head feels like it's getting a little hug. It's all true. It's all coming at you from
that's such a big liar.
I agree. Well, maybe you should be an air traffic controller or Madonna, so you can wear those little headsets all the time then, Jenny.
If you can hook it up, I'm down.
Can you hook up her being Madonna?
I don't know about that. I don't know. Jenny Slate is here. She is, of course, an actress, comedian, author. She is part of this thing that we've been talking about all week long, which is the YouTube Comedy Week that is kicking off this Sunday night with a special live event and continuing all week long on the YouTube Comedy Channel. So many great stars involved, including The Lonely Island and Vince Vaughn and Seth Rogen and the Gregory Brothers and the team from Nerdist, Norm Macdonald, Craig Robinson. It's insane. Jenny, what are you doing with this YouTube comedy thing? Are you part of the live show Sunday night?
Yes. Well, the show starts at 5, and I'll be hosting the sort of like pre-show sort of red carpet event with Norm Macdonald. And
do you know Norm Macdonald?
You know what? I haven't met him in person yet. And I'm really excited and a little bit nervous because I admire him very much.
He's cartoonish, sort of.
Yeah. So they say I am as well.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like this in terms of so you're interviewing other participants of the event on the red carpet?
I believe that
that's
I
a thankless job, Jenny.
Do you don't think know, do so? You? I don't know.
She doesn't know.
I love chatting. They're like, well, you do this. And I was like, duh, as long as I get to talk to everybody and just talk to them, I'm really pumped about it.
But I think they expect the people to be able to have something back to say to you as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think that's
part
of
it. Oh, God, I didn't prepare for that. I thought I just got to talk
it's
into their faces.
It's not a monologue, no.
I thought that I just talked to them and then they all go to sleep in a pile in front of me. I'm so confused.
We talk about this all the time. We talk about things that look easy and fun until you do them and then you realize that you're in no way prepared for it. I'm telling you that interviewing people, especially if there's a camera on you and you've got a time constraint and there's pressure, interviewing people looks like super fun job and easy when you're watching at home. How many times, Jenny, have you been watching the Oscars or one of these shows and you go, those people are terrible. Those people are stupid doing those interviews, right?
You know, okay, I get that. And I think those people sort of often are stupid.
Right.
And what they're asking about is like super dumb. That's luckily not what this is. Like, this is so silly.
You're not going to be asking them who they're wearing?
Yeah, I don't have to ask anybody who they're wearing. And hopefully no one will be wearing any clothes at all. Is that also wrong? I heard it was a nude event.
I'm not positive.
I feel like I'm
off.
Yeah. Right.
We'll check into nude.
Yeah. And my husband and I also we made a series for Jash.
Oh, good.
Good. We're in there. We're all in there.
This YouTube Comedy Week kicks off Sunday, as I said. If you want to be part of the live audience, you can call K-Rock right now. First two callers through at 1-800-520-1067. You can be there to see it in person. Now, you mentioned Jash. It sounds like a dirty word. It's not. Explain what Jash is about.
Well, Josh is one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced as a comedian. It's a YouTube channel, and basically they've gathered a group of comedians who want to do new, maybe even experimental comedy, but comedy that's still really funny, but stuff that's like on the edge, sort of odd, very, our thing is very full of life, and it's kind of like... an experimental comedy community is what I think
it is. It's the weirdo community.
It is, but it's filled with like big, huge stars that sometimes you only get to see do more mainstream things with people who have like wild, fun imaginations. And it's like hanging out with super cool friends who actually tell you really fun stories. That's what it reminds me of. That's what my husband and I are trying to do with our stuff.
Reggie Watts is part of Josh, also Sarah Silverman, Michael Cera, Tim mm-hmm. and Eric, a bunch of good people. You're right. Michael Cera, by the way, seems like a guy who we think of him as the Arrested Development guy and the version of that he plays in movies and stuff. He seems like a super smart guy to me who's going to surprise us down the road he's going to end up being some sort of a big Hollywood deal, I think.
I 100% agree with that. I think he's a smart, nice young man, and I want to know what's going on inside of his brain.
You think there's stuff that we don't know about?
Yeah, I think Secrets. There's tons of awesome stuff.
Okay. I wasn't thinking awesome, but all right.
Jenny Slate is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've never had you on the show before, so I'm curious to find out a little bit about how you ended up being the Jenny Slate that we know and love today. Like, what's where did it all start for you? Where did the early inklings come that you were an entertainer?
I've always had it. I've always wanted it. My parents are a potter and a poet, and they were married in high school, and they're just like, they live in a haunted house in the woods in Massachusetts, and they were always sort of like...
Are you talking about a movie now? Or?
Yeah, my life. They're always just like, go for it. And so I guess I never thought I couldn't. And so I just go for it. Yeah.
And a poet.
Yeah.
That old combination.
I know, right? That American standard.
And do you believe that the house was haunted, or is that just something they told you?
Oh, I believe that the house is haunted.
But because of something you said or because they told you?
Something you saw?
I don't know what it is, but every time I go into the bathroom, I hear a noise. It's like, and I'm like, it's a ghost. There's like tons of ghosts, I guess, especially after dinner. No, my dad saw a ghost, and my mother and one of my sisters also saw one. And there
Did you see one?
You know what? I didn't see one, I think I haven't seen one because the ghosts know that I will have a heart attack. Like, I don't want to see one at all.
Yeah,
ghosts
really
are
don't.
Aware of what the effect might be on you.
They've got to be plugged in. Know. You don't know what they know. Exactly. Right? Exactly.
But neither do you.
I know. No one knows.
Everyone in your family has seen a ghost but you.
I haven't seen one, and I think it's because I'm too sensitive. I think they know that I'll just like fall down all the stairs and hit my head and I'll die. And
everybody stay away from Jenny. She's weak.
They don't want me to get scared to death because they don't want me to be a ghost with them.
Okay.
So like, she'll be here for eternity with us.
So you got encouragement from your crazy parents in your haunted house.
Yeah.
And then did you go the acting route in high school? Is that where it started?
I did acting in high school, and then I always wanted to be an actress, and I wanted to be on SNL. And
how'd that go for you?
It went cool.
Well, she could check it off the list. She was on SNL.
I was on it.
How long were you on SNL?
Just 1 year.
What happened? Why?
Why was I on it?
And then why did you end it?
Right. Well, I didn't end it. Mm-hmm. I got fired.
Because?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of different reasons for why it could be. It could be that they didn't like me and thought that I wasn't funny. That's always sort of a main one that'll get you kicked off.
Or,
but we hope that's not it, and I can't imagine it is.
I don't think so either. It could be that by mistake I said the F word, which now that you meet me is like kind of a sad bummer because I'm not.
You said the F word on TV?
I said it by mistake, and I'm not a troublemaker, but maybe a little bit of a wild animal. So, and actually the whole time I've been sitting here, my like butt's like clenched so tight because I'm just like, don't say a swear. I'm like so scared. I'm so scared of it now.
But Jenny, that can't be the first time that's happened in 40 years
of
that show.
Not.
It's live TV and you're improv-ing.
Yeah.
They understand.
Well, you're not improvising at all. You're not improvising. You're looking at the cards. So that's why.
Did the card say the F word?
The card said it was a sketch that I wrote where we said the word frickin' maybe like over 50 times.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian from New York City, and I say that word. And also, I'm a human woman, and I say that word, and so does everyone else. So get
sure.
over it.
Right, right.
I don't know. I must have relaxed for a second, and I don't even know. I don't even remember doing it.
You don't?
I was, yeah.
How
yeah.
did you find out you did it? Who told you?
Everyone.
I, like, got up. I remember, like, I said it.
Kristen
I remember
Wiig's face.
Being like, Kristen said she didn't even notice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't even notice. You know, and, like, I was
she
like.
She just doesn't want to get involved.
She's just like, she's just having so much fun. And I don't know. I must have said it. And then I definitely, like, it's like. I felt like I was in a warm bath and suddenly I was like in an ice cube. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh
God. And then I got off stage and there were tons of people around me being like, it's okay, it's okay. And I was like, what happened? Like, I felt like there was like an ice pick in my, like one of those like arrows that sticks through your skull and you're like, what? I feel fine. And everyone's like, ah!
But didn't this happen very early in the season? And
it was
you
the
didn't
first
get fired.
Show. The first
yeah, you
show.
Didn't get fired. You were on
no.
the whole rest of the season. So it that
was.
Clearly had nothing to do with it.
I don't, it wasn't a bean.
I don't know.
Clearly had something to do with it.
No,
but they don't. But if she worked the whole rest of the season, Lisa, they don't come at the end of the year and say we're going to fire you for something that happened
well,
on episode one.
You know, you're right. Tell her why.
I mean, it could be just that they just thought I wasn't right for the show. I mean, that's probably what it was. When I got fired,
that's such a big lie.
What do you? Well, I mean, sure. What do you think that it was?
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Is there? It's a game of chemistry, and it's a lot of people with a lot of opinions and a lot of egos, and there are
sure.
people like our friend Jay Moore, who's one of the literally one of the funniest people on the face of the earth, who
is.
I think also did one season on SNL because it wasn't a good fit, and sometimes that happens, and it's
yeah.
not a big deal.
It's so weird because as a person, I want like everyone to be my best friend, and I, you know, and like I'm not a like an attitude-y person, but I definitely have a vibe and opinions and a comedy style. And it was like you hear all these people being like, "Oh, it's hard there. It's a really hard show." And it's like everyone was really nice to me. I did not
because they knew you were a short timer.
Yeah, right. They were like, "She's only gonna be here for a year.
That's
not
the first show.
Let's not be rude to her." They were all nice, and actually, like I did some work I really liked. So I like, but I kind of felt like as the summer went on and I hadn't been renewed and I was like waiting to be renewed or fired, I was like, oh, maybe I'm like the odd one, or maybe it's like it's just too much of a risk or something, and you know, and then you just gotta kind of let it go.
The hell's happening in
is,
your
are
house,
there ghosts?
Are
what is that?
Maybe
on?
That was the ghost, Jenny, that you've
yeah.
never seen or heard until now.
Are you in my parents' kitchen?
What's happening? Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I didn't want to break it to you. Jenny Slate is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean!
You're awful!
On K-Rock!
But we have Jenny Slate here.
Yes.
She's trying
to make
awful.
Up, try to make up for our awfulness.
Right. Even right. It
take
out
away
it
from the
mean.
Awfulness. Jenny is here. She is part of the Jash Network, which is very funny. She's pretty much owning the internet right now, and she's part of the YouTube Comedy Week that kicks off this Sunday, so do check it out on YouTube. So you graduated, not drove by, but went to, attended classes at, and graduated from Columbia University?
I did.
Disappointed must your parents be that you're wasting a great education?
They knew it. They knew it all along.
They knew from the beginning?
Yeah. They were just like, well, you're okay. So you're going to become like a whatever it is that I am now.
an entertainer.
Sort of witchy clown. Yeah. But they were just like, please don't be an idiot. Just get an education and then go ahead and do whatever you think you should do with it. But yeah, I did it. I also like definitely... you know, blazed my way through it. Like, heavy.
But it's funny though, because you went basically just to not break your parents' hearts. You knew you weren't going to use the skills, this, you know, subjects that you were mastering to graduate. You knew that they weren't going to come use for you in your later life. You just didn't want your parents to be able to nag you about not having a college education.
There was some, I mean, yes, a lot of things that I do. I just don't want to disappoint my parents because I'm from a nice Jewish family. So there's that, just a keen sense of guilt. All the time, but
it helps if they expect to be disappointed
yeah.
by you like my parents, and
yeah.
then you don't have to worry about it that much.
My parents kind of expect to be wowed, so I feel like I have to like keep, you know, really jack it up all the time. I still read a lot of like books, you know. And I like
books are for losers. That's our reading is definitely for losers. That's our point. Look, they make movies out of books so you don't have to read the books, Jenny. Hello, Gatsby.
You know what I love are like the BBC versions of the like Bronte sisters books, and not for the plots, but just because I imagine everyone has like giant bloomers and like nobody knows what sex is, so they see like a man's like skin on his wrist and they're just like, ooh, and just, like, die of horniness. Those are my favorite books in the world, where it's like the biggest repression and just amped up levels of horniness. So, I love literature.
I don't know if you're watching that that Mr. Selfridge show. Speaking of these imports from the pond, are you watching that or not?
I haven't seen it, and I really, really want to see it. Really,
the only reason I bring it up is because it's a show that Jeremy Piven stars, and it's a British show about a guy who started the Selfridges department store. But the only reason I bring it up is, to your point, Jenny, is that it's so scandalous that a couple just had their first date on last week's episode and had sex. And I thought, how did that happen like 100 years ago that people were doing that? Because the impression we get is that everybody was so repressed that they wouldn't even think about it.
I know. I love it. I would love – like, I don't want to have to be in a society where I can't, you know, do whatever I want with the gentleman of my choice if I was single, which I'm not. I'm married. but, you know, it would be kind of exciting to not know anything and just, like, really be at that level of, like, pulsating horniness.
Is your husband in show business? Pulsating horniness is playing the meanie roast, by the way.
Is it 9 a.m. yet? Can I say that?
No. Is your husband in show business, Jenny?
He is. He's a director, and actually he wrote and directed the Jash series called Catherine that we did that you can see on Jash. I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are a little bit of an internet pioneer. You had one of the big viral videos from years ago called Marcel the Shell, right?
I did.
And did, right. and was that something that you just created for fun and had no idea that it was going to end up basically turning into an industry with books and the whole thing?
That is exactly correct. Yeah, we just did it for fun in our house, and I started talking in the voice and walking around and just being like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like that kind of stuff. And my husband was like, oh, okay, she might be going crazy, or maybe we should explore. And he started.
Does he have that thought a lot?
Yes. Oh, certainly all day long. Yeah, he's just in constant fear that I'm, you know, just going to.
So he thought explore. Good.
Yeah, and we did it. And he interviewed me in the character, and then he created Marcel's like little body and everything and animated it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And is there a whole segment of people to whom that's who you are? Like people who have little kids or something like that, that you're the Marcel the Shell lady and that's pretty much all they know you for?
Yeah, actually there is. And it's, in a way it's nice because Marcel is sort of me. And so it makes me feel a little bit like safer in society. Like people know that I'm maybe a sensitive soul and they're nicer to me. but then it's also weird when people come and see my stand up and it's, I mean, not to be sensational, but it is like rather blue or whatever. There's a lot of talk about stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure. That they wouldn't expect from that TV
right.
show.
Yes, exactly. And then
do you ever say anything completely inappropriate in the Marcel voice?
Yeah, to my husband a lot, but I can't say any of it on the radio. I'm not allowed to say anything sexy in the voice. It's like become a rule.
Oh,
in our
isn't
house.
That interesting?
It's like don't. Don't you dare say that, because
it's pooping on someone's childhood, basically,
exactly.
if they hear that. I understand.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you about one more character that I am so deeply in love with, especially as a huge Parks and Rec fan.
Oh, yeah.
You're Mona Lisa Saperstein, who is, Kevin, you know her on the show. She's the one who, you know, she's the one who's dating Tom Halford. She's the one who says things like, I'm so bored. Let's have sex in a tree. That's her.
Yeah,
every that word that comes out of your mouth on that show is so wrong and so funny.
Yeah.
Tell me about being on Parks and Rec and what that's like.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Because it's the funniest show on TV.
I think so, too. And it has such a big heart. Like, I think that's why the comedy is, like, double good, is because it's not just funny, but you're just like, ugh, everyone on that show, even when they're a total bad person, they're, like, still kind of lovable. My friend Joe Mandy wrote that character for me and asked me if I would come in and do it.
Wrote it for you specifically?
He did,
wow,
cool. And he's an amazing comedian. Have you guys ever had Joe Mandy
on? No, we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
he
so. That's a good tip.
He's awesome. But it's just so much fun because the cast is really nice and they let you play around a bit and I don't know. It's like being on the varsity team or something, which I obviously never was. I'm a tiny Jewess.
Now,
not good at sports.
Do you feel like you're going to get fired after one season on this show too, or how do I mean?
I don't feel that way.
Oh, good. Okay, that's nice.
You know, you never know when you're like a guest star. They could make me die over the summer, but no, I don't. I don't feel like that's my lot in life to get fired, which is also why I'm so maybe continually surprised that I have been fired before.
I got the impression, by the way, when you came on that it was like a cameo and it was hilarious. And then everybody loved it so much that they kept inviting you back. Because now you're on almost every week. And that's what I love about it. Because I love that character so much.
I love – that's a nice thing to say. I love playing her, too. I like to play people who are despicable because maybe it's a place I secretly want to go in life, and I don't.
And you can't?
You know, I can't, and I don't. I don't want to ruin my brand. but actually, Joe Mandy, who wrote Mona Lisa Saperstein, also wrote my character of Liz on The Kroll Show. So basically, he's made me into a complete turd in right. both of the jobs that I
and
do.
And that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's so awesome to finally meet you. And now that you're local, now that you live in town, I hope we'll be seeing you around K-Rock once in a while.
Great, I'll be here tomorrow morning. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow morning is great.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget, the YouTube Comedy Week kicks off this Sunday night with a special event on the YouTube Comedy Channel, and Jenny is going to be part of that. So tune in early and see her red carpet interviews.
5 p.m.
Look for her videos on the Jash Network as well. Jenny, great to have you on. Thanks so much for
having me, guys.
By the way, congratulations to Teresa James from Fountain Valley. She won this hour's tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 in the pit. And backstage passes, your chance to win every hour all day long today, right up until 8 o'clock. Because apparently we don't care about you if you listen to the radio at night. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
It's weird how nobody wants tickets for this thing. No one's writing emails saying that they have a brother who just served in Iraq who needs a helping hand. Or they've got a deadly disease. Or they've got some teacher who saved their lives and give them tickets. No one's writing emails like this.
Never getting a lot of those, Ralph.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. Why aren't I on the list?
Yeah. I'd like to read those.
Ralph.
Not. No, I'm good, thank you.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Hey, you know, it's upfront season. That means all the networks are coming forward and saying, this you're going to love.
They're lying about a lot of it. We were wrong about most of those shows last year, but this year, seriously. No,
you know, we learned our lesson. Remember all the crap we served up last year? We're sorry. This year, look at this. You're going to love this. So I'm trying to keep tabs on everybody. It's hard now because we live in a world of 400 networks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one by one, I'm trying to go through what they have to offer.
So Southland's not really canceled, right?
Is well, that that's the reason I bring this up, is TNT and TBS have announced their development slates for the new season.
Okay.
TNT, of course, the network that saved Southland by taking it when NBC canceled it and putting it on the air
right.
before season. So I can't really begrudge them that. However, on the flip side of that same said coin, they are the network that canceled Southland.
Right.
So I was curious to see, well, what are they putting on?
They must have some good stuff.
What
got to be
putting,
better,
what
right.
are they putting on in it instead? Well, I'm
are
glad.
They putting on It's Cutlets?
No, they're not, sadly. They do have some promising things, like a reboot of a classic detective series called Peter Gunn, which I enjoyed in reruns as a lad.
Okay.
It has that legendary theme song to it, you may know. The Peter Gunn theme.
Don't know that?
It goes...
Oh, I've heard that. All right.
Heard it.
Okay. You're trying to get Kevin interested in something from 1960. You know that now, right, Ralph?
I understand that. But I was glad to see that they made room on the schedule TNT did for Monopoly... The reality show.
Monopoly, the reality show.
Uh-huh. Two-person teams will play a game of real-world Monopoly.
Okay.
And try to amass as much property and wealth as possible in this game that requires strategy. Strategy.
Or strategy.
Acumen.
Huh?
And chance.
Chance. Are we going to be watching people play a game of Monopoly?
I get the sense that's what we're going to see.
That's going to be happening. We're not going to be watching.
I want to be the thimble. I'm the Scotty dog. I'm the race car. Room, room.
That's instead of Southland on my TV.
That's what we got.
Someone's got some splaining to do.
That's what we got. However, they're also going to offer up the big deal, which is antique collectors.
Oh, I mean,
around
already.
The world competing in a scavenger hunt. So, whatever with did John Cooper survive, we'll get to watch Antique Collectors in a scavenger hunt.
Yep.
We got that to look forward to.
So
I'm just saying.
Person who can find us a vase from the 20s. Go.
See, now you're getting a bean. Now
wow.
you get it. Now you got the idea.
That show has nothing.
We live in strange times, my friend.
Southland had everything.
Taylor Swift fan arrested. Bean, when did you get out? What, did you post bail? Did your wife post bail for you?
I wish this were me. I wish I could have been this guy.
An obsessed Taylor Swift fan was arrested swimming up to the front of Taylor's Rhode Island beach home early this morning. A man was found swimming up to the beach in front of her house at 2 a.m. You know he's up to no good when he's swimming up to her beach at 2 a.m. with a roll of duct tape and some hefty bags.
Noon would have been five, but two.
Latex gloves.
Yeah, I'm not good. Just,
you're causing more suspicion. You're swimming around at noon. Oh, the guy's taking a swim.
Yeah.
2 a.m., you're swimming up to the thing.
Yeah.
You're looking like a Navy SEAL. You got black makeup on your face, and you're doing the marine crawl across the sand. I think they know something's up.
Have we heard yet what his plan was, whether it was to do harm or just to try to court her or what?
He told cops he just intended to meet her.
Okay. At 2 in the morning, though, how did he think that was going to happen? That he was going to knock on the door and she was going to come down in a nightie or something?
Why do you continue to ask questions?
Just trying to figure
logically.
Out.
He's not logical.
Okay.
He's crazy.
Maybe he wanted to play some real-life Monopoly with
her. It's Taylor Swift, for God's sakes.
Yeah. The best part of the story is he was swimming up to her, and then he found Taylor's security team waiting for him on the beach. Turned around and swam the other way when he got to the other end, and the cops were waiting for him, and they have him still in custody as far as we know. I'm just saying.
Should have swum to Europe is what he should have done. Just turned around, went the other way.
Would have been an option. Lisa, it's for you. A little Broadway news.
Okay.
Billy Crystal's coming back to Broadway.
Oh, all right.
He's going to do a 9-week run of his one-man show, 700 Sundays. And regardless of what you may think of Billy Crystal, I saw this show when it was in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Boy, was it great.
Really?
Yeah, just a great show.
It's one-man show, just him telling stories?
It's an autobiographical piece about his childhood. His father was, they were a poor family, and so in order to keep body and soul together, he had to work 6 days a week. So okay. He saw his father only on Sundays. And he did the math and he figured his dad passed away when he was fairly young. So he had 700 Sundays with his father. And he talks about his relationship with his dad and his crazy relatives. And he acts out the different characters of what their dinners were like and stuff. And it's a very entertaining show.
It what I'm saying, you're marvelous.
Want him to say that? No, I don't believe Fernando Lamas shows up in the 700 Sundays one-man show.
I think it's completely sold out here.
Kevin, with a reference from the 80s, though, again, is blowing my mind.
That's something. It sold out here, Lisa? Is that what
I
you're
think
saying?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it did. They're doing a 9-week run on Broadway, so if you happen to be in New York in November when it kicks off, you can check it out.
Okay.
This is the last time you'll ever do it, by the way. So if you want to see it, this is it. Kevin.
When he says
now.
This is it
means this is it.
Mm-hmm.
He hired Conrad Murray to be his personal doctor. That's how serious he is.
This is the final curtain call.
It.
And when I say this
last
is it, it really
Billy
means
Crystal
this is it.
This. And Christina Aguilera will be coming back as a coach for next season's The Voice on NBC. Now we know how much money she'll be making. TheWrap.com. They did the story. The features Christina's deal, $12.5 million for her season 5 coaching duties.
Fatty.
That could balloon up to as much as $17 million, much like Christina herself, depending on how many hours she has to work. So we got one locked in. CeeLo is reportedly trying to negotiate his way back into the show, but just can't get the pen to the contract. Cannot.
They won't bring the contract closer.
He's trying to sign the contract, but he just can't reach it because he has short arms.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Adam Levine and Blake Shelton, apparently they are also trying to work out new deals with producers. Shakira is definitely not returning. We know that much for sure. So, new coach. New coach in the offing. I would like to suggest Kevin.
I'd be a coach.
Kevin, who hates everyone. And just was. Don't just sing. Let's get on the potty bus. P-A-R-T-Y, because I said so. Today's celebrity birthday is Chaz Palminteri, 67 years old today. Sports announcer Dan Patrick is 57. Ray Lewis, while we're talking about sports, former Baltimore Raven linebacker, 38 years old today. Jamie Lynn Sigler celebrates her 32nd birthday. Meadow, of course. From Sopranos, did a little turn on Entourage as well, back when she was dating Turtle.
Right.
And Jamie Crumholtz. Nope. David Crumholtz. I'm so tired. I was up late last night. David Crumholtz from Numbers And I have to correct myself. I said earlier that he was the head elf in Elf.
Right.
That was, I misspoke. He was the head elf in the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Ah.
That's where I remember him being a little elf from in the North Pole. 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did the Truth Squad get to you,
the,
Ralph?
The fact checkers were right there. The minute I got out of the room, there were many tweets and emails waiting for me.
Just all over
God
us.
God bless you people for keeping us in line, because we don't want to misspeak about David Krumholtz's career.
You can't blame them for not wanting us to be wrong all the time, though.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon will be on tomorrow morning's program.
Oh, what a good actor.
He's the best.
Brand new internet roundup. We have, speaking of actors, we have John Cho in the studio talking about Star Trek.
He has had some great moments in that movie.
Into Darkness. Dr. Drew on the program, and Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
And your backstage passes and pit tickets for the... I'm not going to get through this, am I?
Nope.
For the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.